Blog Talk Radio.
It is I, Hasbi Fatin, from Yemen, and I listen to the Halftime with the Half-Man radio show. It is my favorite segment of all time. It makes me want to buy a Raider jersey and trade for Odell Beckham Jr. I cannot wait for the start of the season. I love football, and I love the Half-Man.
But hey, enough of my yakking. What do you say? Let's boogie.
And that is my cue to start the show. Welcome to another Thursday night edition of the Hard Rockin' Sports Show, live from high atop Hard Rockin' Sports Studios in beautiful scenic Monroe, New Jersey. This is your weekly three-hour get-together where we bring you all the biggest news from around the worlds of hard rock, heavy metal, and, of course, the wide world of sports. And, guys, welcome to Thursday, April the 15th. Should be tax day, but Sleepy Joe gave us an extra month. So thanks, Sleepy Joe. Another month of before you have to send in your taxes. Guys, hope you've had a great week. It's been an interesting one for me, and that's been an interesting sports week. You know, sports and music and politics are all intertwining. I feel like the Macho Man. I have to tell you, I've just about, just before the show, I my head almost exploded. And I'll get to it real quick here. You know, I just read that Aaron Hicks is sitting out tonight's Yankee game because of the police shooting in Minnesota. Let me digest that for a second. And Giancarlo Stanton might do it as well. I have to tell you, if athletes today really wanted to sink the game, boy, I'll tell you what, they're headed that way. First of all, What is it you're saying by that? You know, if you want to sit out tonight's game, sit out. Tell them also you don't want to be paid. Let's be clear on that. Make sure you tell the Yankees, I'm not going to play and don't pay me. That'll impress me. But next time a cop is shot, next time 12 people are killed in Chicago by each other, sit out for those two. Protest it all and then impress me. But you don't. You pick and choose, and it's disgusting. And I'm so tired of it. I gotta tell you, if it wasn't that I love doing the show, I honestly could tell you that I could turn off baseball right now. Between the way the way the game's played today, between the way the athletes don't value the game, and then to hear this stupid bring politics into it bullshit, I am so fed up with sports. It takes the life out of me. I mean, I watch the NBA players. They can't play two games in a row. Kyrie Irving decides he's not going to go on a road trip. He's taking off. He just decided, I don't feel like playing. And the owners are okay with it. It's every reason why I don't watch basketball. I mean, I'm done with basketball. Other than that, I keep an eye on the Knicks because I'm still a Knicks fan. And I keep an eye, but I have not watched a regular basketball game other than a Knicks game. And even those, I don't sit wire to wire for anymore. Guys, I am fed up and I'm tired of hearing it. If the cop did something wrong, I didn't see the video, I only heard about it, send them to jail. send him to jail, lose the job, go to jail, whatever the case may be. I can't say it enough, but let's stop waxing the cops as everybody is one under one paintbrush. So I'm fed up. I'm tired of it. It takes the life out of me, but I'm not going to let it get in. You know why? This is why I am waxing nostalgic for wrestling. I spent all last weekend watching wrestling. I wish we could I could go back in time and just start all over again and really, really, really enjoy wrestling as much as I did even more, because it's simple. Good guy beats the bad guy. Sometimes the bad guy wins, but at the end of the day, the good guy wins, and then eventually he becomes the bad guy. Can't beat it. But let's get the show started. I'm waxing on all of this, and there's so much to get to. And, you know, Jeff has gone on and renamed himself now. Now he's gone from GOAT, which, by the way, you need to ask him about his Leonard Williams prediction on his great analysis of the GOAT. He's now calling himself the Pharaoh. I don't know how this pertains. I don't understand why it is, but he seems to have some sort of celebration plan tonight. But please, just do me a favor and amuse him as I bring on the backbone of the Hard Rockin' Sports Show, my friend of 40 years, and the bearded one, Mr. Jeff Tonwinski.
I will not be addressed by my full name anymore.
Oh, dear Pharaoh. Welcome to the show.
Do you know why I've called myself a Pharaoh?
I couldn't possibly be expected to figure this one out.
Because?
Yeah. Because what?
That's it. Because, man. Because it's a name that means something. It's had thousands of years behind it. We still talk about the pharaohs of Europe, Egypt, and you'll be talking about my predictions for years to come, man.
Yeah, how bad they are.
Predictions.
How bad they are.
They're all going to happen. They're all going to come true.
Yeah, but it didn't come true. You said he would do nothing as a Giant. He had 11 sacks last year.
Listen. He did more for the Giants than I could have ever. If he had 39 sacks, he still didn't do as much for the Giants as he did when he signed on that fucking contract.
Okay. To hurt them, you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. Yeah, this guy is a lead fucking balloon. You just don't realize it yet.
I do not. They signed. I think it's showing how smart our incredible general manager is. He made a tremendous move. And we got a big piece of the puzzle as we head toward this year's playoff appearance, which I am predicting.
Did you ever see the George Carlin special when he talks about his Uncle Dave?
It's possible. I used to love Carlin, saw him live a couple times. Got too political for me, so I stopped paying attention. But please tell me about Dave, Uncle Dave.
He said that he had this whole spiel. You'd have to hear it. I'll send it to you.
Okay.
I feel as though that you're worthy enough.
Thank you, old Pharaoh.
About everybody having an Uncle Dave.
Okay.
Okay. So Dave Gettleman is your Uncle Dave.
He's my Uncle Dave.
Uncle Dave. Everybody's Uncle Dave.
Oh, okay.
Just like in Colin skit.
Okay.
The bottom line is that Uncle Dave Gettleman.
Yeah.
The guy's on life support right now. Okay. He's an 0-4 start away from getting fucking canned. All right, you are the only one that comes on week after week after week and praises this guy, okay? He sucks. He sucks. He is like the Dick Howser of managers.
Dick Howser. Dick Howser won 103 games as a manager of the Royals.
Well, then I'm thinking of the wrong guy. Maybe. Stump Merrill or something. Some really bad manager. Probably a Mets manager or something.
I would go to Mets manager, but okay. There's a couple. Stump Merrill's a good one. Okay, go ahead.
He's bad. He's just bad.
Well,
he's bad for the team. He's bad for
I will agree with you on one. I will tell you, I will agree on one thing, that if Dave Gettleman and the Giants don't get off to a good start and certainly don't make a playoff or a really big push, you know, if they went 10-7 and just missed making the playoffs, he keeps his job. If they go 7-10, he's out.
Dude, I got bad news for you. If they go 7-10, they're going to sign that fucking guy to a fucking extension.
If they go
10-7, they're going to name the stadium, man.
That's very possible. I'll say is this. I think the guy's done the last two seasons, his free agency and his draft. We'll see this year's, but his free agency and draft picks have done really well. He's changed the culture of the team. And I think that, you know, short of a implosion, by their quarterback, major injuries. This team will be a solid team and will probably make the playoffs. Say what you want. I agree with you, though. If he were, if they were to shit the bed this year, Dave Gettleman will be looking for a new franchise and probably will not get one.
If I'm the owner of the New York Giants.
Yes.
Okay. Before the season starts,
mm-hmm.
this is what I would do.
I'd
can Gettleman.
Already. You're already canning Gettleman.
I'd make a rush hire for a general manager because he would probably, whoever that person is, would do better than Dave Gettleman. That's one thing. Mm-hmm. Okay. Second, I would release Daniel Jones and I would trade. This is only if I was the New York Giants. I would trade the next three number one draft picks for like to move up two spots in the draft.
That's what you would do?
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank God you're not doing it then. That's very good then.
You got to do what you got to do.
Kyle, guys, we're here at Hard Rock Sports.
This team is in bad shape, Tom.
I will tell you that, it's never a dull week for me. You know, even when in the worst of days, I can look down at my phone and go, what did this idiot just write? And you can't even imagine. He's got the Giants pick in the center. He's got it all over the place. Trading three number one picks to move up to pick a guard. You can't even imagine the shit that
the mock drafts that I have.
They're aptly named mock.
I sure we don't have them. It's a mock. Franchise changing player.
Well, we're gonna figure that out next week. I have to tell everybody, I really thought that this week's show was supposed to be the draft preview show with Frank Jeffrey and Matt Salitri. I prepped all weekend right up till Tuesday night. And then all of a sudden, Frankie sent me a message and said, Tom, it's next Thursday, the 22nd, and he was 100% right. So I was unprepared. But I got sort of prepared. Jeff threw some stuff at me, and we'll make a go of it anyway. But,
And you have a calendar and a phone and a tablet. And
I got no excuse for it.
But yet you sit there and tell me and our fans in Greece and Ukraine and Israel that Dave Gettleman and the New York Giants are, this is a good team. But meanwhile, I don't even know what day it is.
I can't argue that one.
But you know what? I will say this much. I'm going to give you this much.
Good.
You're living in the future, so maybe there is something you know that we don't know.
Yeah, that's very true. That's true. I am a week ahead of you, so maybe make some good bets for us. But we still got plenty to talk about. You know, I will tell you, I've been. I don't know if Jeff lit the fire. He's invited me to a couple of wrestling websites, and while I've always had the toe in the water. I got the Peacock Network now. The Peacock Network is an app or streaming service that has to do with NBC, and they bought the rights to all the old WWE, WWF stuff. Now, it's a little confusing on the site, but they have a whole bunch of different categories. They have all the old, they have like a superstar one where you can go different through and you find some different highlights of different superstars, newer guys, older guys. But one of them is they have all the WrestleManias 1 through, I guess, 37 now. And I realized that I have forgotten so much about those WrestleManias that I decided to go back that I was going to watch from WrestleMania 9 all the way back to 1. So, but I didn't do it that way because for some reason I wanted to see WrestleMania 6, which featured Hulk Hogan versus the Ultimate Warrior. Belt for belt. Warrior was the Intercontinental Champ, and it was the unification of the belt. And it was a pretty good card. It was a pretty good event. I watched WrestleMania 5, which was Hogan versus Savage for the belt, which I think Savage was the champ, Hogan won it, and Miss Elizabeth was in the neutral corner. What I realized was how much fun wrestling was compared to that. It was the storylines were great. They spent like 5 minutes going back and showing you, how they were together. Then they were enemies and all the different. And it was so much fun. And I realized how much I waxed poetic about wrestling, Jeff. And I am glued. This weekend I will watch two other WrestleManias.
Well, wrestling is something that is gone.
Yes.
It's huge now.
Yep.
not maybe as big as it was with Hogan. I'm talking the production end of it.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Okay, it is probably at its peak as far as the production of it and everything else, that the way that goes into it.
Yep.
You know, the storylines and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. Back then, when we were watching it back in the 80s, it was a completely different thing. And it was just, I don't want to say it was more real. It was more real because there wasn't the stuff that goes on there is now, you know, like just too theatrical.
Yes.
It was more real because there was two opponents. They came out. This one gripe. They went in, they wrestled, and that was it. It was over.
Yeah. I think the matches were better then.
Had a different opponent every month.
Yes.
Now these feuds could last months, last a year.
Yeah. Well, that was the one thing about it. You know, if you watch a lot of the old wrestlers who even over the years, and now that some of them have passed, when they talk about it, they said basically they were feeding the beast. So Hulk Hogan was so big that you would do a little run with him. You would wrestle him in a big match. He beat you, and then you were done. And they go on to the next guy. Very few guys were able to survive and stay around after, or had to wait and take, you know, lower places on the cards. But it's just amazing when I go through it how much better it was. To me, obviously. What's up, SJ? That's SJ from So High, who I opened the show again with Buckner. I love the song, and a big thanks to SJ and all the guys from So High from last week's show. It's one of our biggest shows ever on this. It's not the biggest. The band brought some heat for the show, Jeff. So thanks to those guys.
Nice.
And like I said, to celebrate, I opened up the show with Buckner again. So make sure you check out our good friends from So High, and make sure you follow them, and go find them on YouTube and all over the internet. And they got some great, great stuff. And hopefully they'll come back on sooner than later when they got some more stuff to promote. But you know, Jeff, it's weird. I guess that it's the match. I mean, there's some, you know, like they had one match was Andre versus Jake the Snake. You know, Jake the Snake's one of those guys that even when he was a good guy, he never really was a good guy.
Jake the Snake.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had that way about him.
Then I saw a video. So that match was like an odd kind match. Like
kind of a dark character.
Correct. And then, well, I'll tell you how dark. I found the video, and I got to find it again. I meant to share it with you. I think I might have even shared it with you. I'm not sure. But it was Jake the Snake took the Ultimate Warrior into some basement. And in this room was a casket with Satan in it. And he was telling the Ultimate Warrior that you have to go into the casket and grab Satan by the throat. And he locks the Ultimate Warrior in his dark room and turns on the lights, and it's full of snakes. And you see that the Ultimate Warrior is kicking the snakes, which I guess wouldn't work today. And I don't even know what – yeah, so – And then they show like this cobra biting the warrior, and then he comes flying out of the room, knocks the door down. It was the weirdest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. And I said, this is when it was fun. This is when wrestling was fun. I got to find that video, and I got to let you see it. But, you know, I showed you one the other day of way early Hogan arm wrestling Andre the Giant.
When Hulk Hogan had chest hair.
Had chest hair.
Before he shaved his entire, waxed his entire body.
And had the fake second boot to the head.
Yeah. Oh, God.
That
God. That might have been the absolute worst kick ever in the history of bad kicks.
It was terrible.
I couldn't believe that one.
It was terrible. But again, and you know what? That I discovered there were some characters that I didn't remember. The Blue Blazer. Do you remember the Blue Blazer? Who was the Blue Blazer?
Blue Blazer was Owen Hart.
Yes, it was. I had to look it up because I'm watching him going, I think I look familiar. Who's the Blue Blazer? I had to go on YouTube. I had to Google
Owen Hart died as the Blue Blazer.
Did he?
Yep. He was coming from the rafters.
Yes.
And he ended up with a malfunction on his harness, and he fell like 80 feet and bounced off the fucking ring post or something.
Yeah. But it was... You know, I was short of the tragedies, but I watched Bobby the Brain Heenan wrestle the Red Rooster, who might be the worst character of all time. I was trying to figure that one out. Is that the worst character that ever came up? And who came up with the Red Rooster?
Please, there were some bad ones. The Repo Man, the Red Rooster,
yeah.
Coco Beware. You know, some of these parents are bad.
But Coco Beware, I took it as more of a name. When you name a wrestler after a chicken, I got a problem with it.
Yeah,
and he's sitting in the ring and he's pecking, and I'm going, what the hell?
No, I remember that.
Like, what? Here's what I figured. He must have tried to date Vince McMahon's daughter, and his punishment was, we're going to give you the most ridiculous, ridiculous character, and you got to stick with it.
They must have been paying him well, because he was the Red Rooster for a while. He had the blonde hair with the red thing down the middle,
oh,
the red trunks. That was Terry Taylor.
Yes, Terry Taylor was the Red Rooster. And then I watched the Can-Am Connection, which was Tito Santana and Rick Martel. Mm-hmm. Martel runs away in the middle of a match because inadvertently Tito Santana tackled him, and then he walked away, and then whoever he was wrestling at the time, I think it was the Hart Foundation, just crippled Tito Santana, and that turned into I have to tell you, if you ever have a chance, I'm sure you have the Peacock Network on your thing. If you ever get a boring Saturday night, let your wife throw it up for you and watch some of the old ones, and it's just so much. I'm telling you, I was glued. I watched two WrestleManias instead of watching the current WrestleMania, which was on over the weekend. I had no interest, although Hulk Hogan was the announcer.
Yeah.
Which almost intrigued me enough to watch it, but I'm glad I didn't, because most wrestling fans panned it. So I'm glad I didn't watch it.
It's not the same.
No.
During the pandemic, with everything that's going on, how could it be the same at this point?
Again, it just, even if there was filled with 80,000 people, it's still, to me, it's too much of the theatrics and not enough of the classic wrestling. You know, today it's all about, you know, a quick match and guys throwing each other off of, you know, off of buildings and, you know, through glass plate. I get it. Yes. I talked to Tito Santana, and he wanted to be paid to come on the show. So I kind of nixed it, but I met him. He was great. I met him in Jersey at an event. Couldn't have been a nicer guy. Couldn't have been a nicer guy.
Listen, well, you speak about Tito Santana coming on the show to get paid. Yeah. When we met Ricky the Dragon Steamboat.
Nice guy.
And how to take his pay to get a picture taken with him and to see his ring and everything.
Yep.
I mean, he was cool. He spent a minute with us. But, you know, you think about it, and this guy's traveling from God knows where, ends up on Staten Island, New York, in the back of a fucking arcade at a wrestling match so that he could peddle some stuff. It's almost as bad as what the Iron Sheik was doing in his special. And a lot of these older wrestlers, you got to think, where are they financially today?
Oof.
You know, like they're doing this. Like, you know, Tito Santana, you met him at a wrestling match, I believe.
Yep, paid $10 to take a picture with him, and he had some sort of belt, but I took a picture with Tito for $10.
No, listen, and that's cool.
Yeah.
But, you know, for him to come on the show and, you know, demand $50 or whatever,
it was $100. It was $100.
Oh, it was $100. Oh, fuck them. Fuck him.
No, it was the principle.
I'm not a big Tito Santana fan.
No, but, you know, like, listen, I was never, I'm not a fan of a lot of these guys, but I would have them on because it, to me, the behind-the-scenes stuff is so interesting. I'd love to be able to get these guys on. And listen, I've watched some videos. Tony Atlas is, like, almost homeless.
Yeah, but Tom is right. No pensions, no health care for these guys.
Yeah.
You know what? At the time, the bigger names were making some money. If
they
were smart with their money, if they weren't doing blow. And, I mean, God, it's amazing that the ones that are alive made it through.
Yeah.
They didn't. Because so many of the older wrestlers from when we were kids, Tom, I don't know how old you are and how far back you're wrestling.
Well, he was at WrestleMania 1.
WrestleMania, yes. So he knows. But even before that, some of these guys, they were probably working jobs and wrestling on weekends.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, just as a hobby.
Well, I would say some of the bigger names probably made decent enough money where, I mean, listen, these guys were probably making, you know, $2,000 a match. But they were working 6-7 nights a week, so the money was flying. But the minute they stopped, you know, weren't able to, they didn't have the money anymore. They, you know, if you read every, I've yet to see too many of them that turned out to have a legacy. Maybe Hogan, and even him, he took a beating. If it wasn't for the Gorka trial, you know, not that he'd be penniless, but you know, he'd be hurting.
He'd be hurting, but you know what, dude? It just all he had to do was come back like he did. Probably his name alone, the trademark he has on his name. and his likeness, he would have still made money. He might have been down for a while, but he was never out.
Well, you know, here's the thing. And in the modern era, Hulk Hogan is the Babe Ruth of wrestling. I mean, there's no – you can argue me there's better wrestlers. I think Hulk Hogan is one of the most overrated wrestlers I ever watched. But there's no denying that his character put them on TV the way they did. The WrestleManias would never have gone off without his personality.
WrestleMania would have never have been born if it wasn't for him.
True, absolutely.
Never mind gone over. WrestleMania happened because of him. And I believe it was when they he was beefing with Roddy Piper, and Roddy Piper had what was his name? Randy Orton's father.
Yeah, Cowboy Bob Orton. Yeah.
And didn't he have Mr. T with him?
At least Roddy one of the WrestleMania. Well, I think one of the WrestleManias they wrestled Orton and Piper. I think the next one, Mr. T boxed Roddy Piper, if I'm not mistaken. I get some people to check me on that. And I'm going to go back this weekend and watch the first two WrestleManias because I never really watched the first one. Yes.
I remember that.
Okay.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't on pay-per-view. Do you remember?
The first one, I think it was closed circuit TV for the first one. The second one, they did in three locations. They had it in the Nassau Coliseum in Chicago and Los Angeles. There were three different locations.
Didn't they have three different matches going on too?
I don't know if it was all simultaneous. You might be 100% right, but it was definitely three different places where it was happening. And you know, went over well, and it grew to obviously WrestleMania 3, which is, you know, the granddaddy of them all, when 93,000 people in the Silverdome watched Hogan and Andre the Giant. And I always thought, I don't know why in my brain, that was Andre's last match, and it wasn't. He wrestled for years after. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, he did, man.
Yeah, he was at WrestleMania 5 or 6, and you know, I'm not sure when he stopped wrestling, but you know, it's so different when you go back and you watch it now. But you know,
Hulk Hogan and Mr. T were together in WrestleMania 1. I had to look up the card as we're talking.
Yeah.
It had an attendance of 19,121.
Yeah, Madison Square Garden. That's a sellout at Madison Square Garden, just about, yeah.
Wow. And Hulk Hogan and Mr. T defeated Paul Orndorff and Roddy Piper.
Oh, it was Paul Orndorff and Roddy Piper. Okay.
Wendy Richter defeated Leilani Kay.
Okay.
Nikolai Volkov and the Iron Sheik defeated the U.S. Express, Mike Rotundo and Barry Windham.
Wow.
And celebrity guests included former Muhammad Ali, Billy Martin as the ring announcer, and Liberace.
Yep.
Wow, so that was the first Tom has mentioned all of that. Sorry, Tom. But that was the first WrestleMania. I remember them making a huge deal.
Yeah, well, that, you know, if that one didn't go over well, there wouldn't have been a 2 and a 3, but 3 put them on the map. But yeah, those first two were fun. I've watched little bits and pieces of them. I'm going to watch them this weekend. I really want to come back and kind of get the feeling of what it looked like. But, you know, there's so much, you know, I found a match this week, somebody posted it, was Gorilla Monsoon was wrestling, and Muhammad Ali was ringside. And Ali got involved. They took off his shirt and his shoes. He went in the ring, and he was throwing punches at Gorilla Monsoon, and Monsoon picked him up and gave him the airplane spin and dropped him on the ground, and Ali got up and was dizzy and walked out. You know,
I remember that.
Yeah, I never seen that till this time, but yeah, listen, I can't watch
Monsoon
today's.
Monsoon was like twice the size of fucking Hulk.
Oh my God! But I'll tell you what, I one thing I'll tell you, the thing that made it for me in those two wrestlers, WrestleManias that I watch. I love Monsoon and Jesse Ventura. It's such a fun dynamic. It was really cool to listen to, and it was just it was simple. It was all about the matches, and that's the fun part for me. Yes, I saw that, Tom, just recently, that Hogan and Mr. T when they hosted SNL. That was actually pretty cool. Yeah, I saw that. That was pretty cool.
Oh, that must have been pretty cool.
Yeah, you can catch that on the YouTube or somebody posted in one of those wrestling sites where we belong to.
Oh, wow.
But when he mentioned Jake the Snake, and I think he's still involved in it and all that, but I watched the Jake the Snake documentary, and I told you to try to find it. I'm going to tell your wife to find it for you. But you did get a chance. You know, before we get too much wrestling, I want to get my dad on before we lose him, and then we'll come back and talk about the Iron Sheik documentary.
Good.
All right, let's get my dad up and see what he's got to say. What's up, Pop?
What's up, Tommy? I'm listening to you guys, and brings back a lot of old memories because I went to the Garden, the old Garden on 51st Street and 8th Avenue, and I saw Bruno Sammartino, and I met him coming out of the tunnel.
Uh-huh.
And he shook my hand, and I was working in Manhattan, and I saw Andre the Giant get out of it, looked like a bus. I didn't know a tree could walk. He just looked at him, and he had the biggest smile on his face because people just stopped. He didn't walk normal. He one leg at a time. And they had an awning there on 57th Street, right off, I think it's 6th Avenue. There's a hotel there. And he couldn't walk through. He had actually stooped down to get underneath it. But he, just his massive frame, he was huge.
God. I mean, 7 foot 5, one of the guys, 500 pounds. I mean, the guy was a monster.
And he was very agile.
For 500 something pounds, he could get around the ring a little bit, get the leg up a little bit. Yeah.
But he was such a nice guy.
The other leg didn't give way.
A lot of those guys back then, even you name a sport, they all lost money. I mean, baseball, them guys went broke. I mean, DiMaggio was selling Mr. Coffee, all right? I mean, boxing, Joe Louis was in debt to the IRS. They didn't know how to invest their money. And everybody that they did, they got robbed from. It was a shame. Wrestling, any sport, there's not a sport that, music business, they got robbed.
No,
everybody walked out of there.
But I'll tell you, there's a lot of the sports. I know the NFL and Major League Baseball, they have now, I don't want to say charities, but they have organizations that take care of the older player. You know, wrestling's the one sport that I know for sure, and I call it a sport, but the one piece of entertainment that never takes that. There's no pensions, there's no health care. You know, to me, that's a multi-billion dollar organization, and they
that's
don't
McMahon,
do anything.
Ed McMahon.
Yeah, Vince McMahon is just,
Ed McMahon, Vince McMahon, and his father really started the business.
Correct, Mr. Vince McMahon Sr., yes. Yeah.
And then now he's got his kids running the business. I mean, he's probably all messed
but
up.
You know what,
that
at some point, you kind of got to look out for the old guys. I mean, the fact that some of these guys are homeless, have no pension, you know, no health care, they abuse themselves for the sport, got it to where it is today. Again, it's got to be worth at least $1 billion, if not more. You got to find a way. $1,000, you give guys health care. I mean, $600 a month.
You know what happens, Tommy? Once you started, I'm not condoning it. I agree with what you were saying. But the minute you start and start a little bit, it escalates, snowballs. And
I get
it's like football. You know, they want more, Not that they're not entitled to it. They're entitled to it. These guys took some. I mean, even though we all know it's choreographed and everything, but these guys come out of there really beat up.
Yeah. Listen, I don't care what you tell me, and I don't care how soft the ring is. I don't care. When you're 7 feet in the air, somebody throws you down, and then takes 250 pounds and launches it on you, you're coming out of it.
Oh, without a doubt. You see the shape. Guys,
yeah.
I feel sorry for them.
I think it's a shame on the McMahons that they haven't set up some sort of. Now, I don't know if they help people behind the scenes. I have no knowledge one way or the other. But to me, that they don't have a health care system for these guys, it's a $1 billion corporation. If you sunk $400 million, $300 million into helping the old timers out, to me, you know,
I agree.
You know, it only benefits you, Jeff.
Yeah. It's a shame, but you know what, Tom? Back then, I don't think they realized the injuries that some of these guys were getting, and then the severity of these injuries. You know, did they know much about concussions? Did they know about the after effects, CTE, that some of these guys are suffering for years afterwards? And let's face it, like you said, they weren't investing their money wisely.
No.
So when they were wrestling, they would end up taking their money and living a cash lifestyle.
Oh, of course.
It's not good. It could be dangerous.
No, of course. No, of course. But, you know, at some point when you start to see a bunch of these guys who are in tremendous shape at 38 and 40 years old dying of heart problems and, you know, all sorts of different problems, at some point you got to have a conscience and say, we got to step up and do the right thing. You know, but nobody's called them out on it. That's the thing. You know, baseball got called out on it. You know, football's been called out on it, obviously, with the CTE stuff. Nobody's called out the wrestling organization. And I think that's a shame.
You know what happened, Tommy, too? They take care of the big guys, Steve Austin.
Yeah.
And the rest of them, you know, Hulk Hogan. They get what they made their money. They made, and nobody complains. So the only guys left are the guys that, like, you see these guys on TV. You can't believe them. Jake the Snake.
Yeah.
And these guys look like they went to a meat grinder.
But you know what, Pop? Guys, I don't even care if you say, you know what, I'm not giving them a pension. I can understand that to a certain extent, okay? You know, you don't want to pay them to live. They, you know, a lot of these guys had 3-4 year runs. You know, you don't want to do that. I almost understand that. But you can't tell me that you can't come up with a way to give them some sort of medical care. You know,
yeah.
$600, $800. I mean, you know, my wife gets benefits. It costs us $600 a month. You can't tell me that for, you know, 200 wrestlers, 300 wrestlers, $600 a month is making that big a deal to the McMahons. I'm sorry. I
guess not, but they must not, because they're not doing it. And you know, very rarely, they tried to get Vince McMahon on TV. They had him on TV once.
Mm-hmm.
They were interviewing him, and that subject came up. He got out of the chair, smacked the reporter, and walked out.
I get it.
I mean,
he was really pissed off that happened.
You had the nerve to ask me about that.
Yeah.
Regardless of what product Vince McMahon is trying to deliver to the fans, he's also a businessman. He's making money. And the only way he's going to make money is if he's saving money.
Absolutely.
You know,
I agree.
Crumbs compared to what he's getting.
Listen, until somebody calls him out on it, of course, Jeff, you're 100% right. That's the name of the game. The name of the game is, you know, I'm going to give you as little as possible, keep more for myself. I'm the owner. I'm the guy laying out the money, and I get it. But at some point, there's got to be a conscience to say, especially these guys from the 80s and 70s, and you know, these guys tortured themselves 7 days a week, you know, 340 shows a year to put this product together and build the WWF into this conglomerate, this huge billion-dollar corporation. At some point, you got to pay it back.
You're 100% right, but you know they're not going to do it. You got to remember how much money was McMahon actually making at that time compared to now.
Oh my God!
He may be able to do something for them now, or may be required to do something for them now. But back then, you know, he wasn't making. This was happening in Wagner College.
No, I got it. But Jeff, you're talking about the earliest. I'm talking about that 83, 84 when WrestleMania took off in the mid 80s. I'm not disagreeing with that, but you know, you were on how many nights a week? You know, wrestling, WrestleMania themselves were huge. The marketing alone was tremendous. You know, the T-shirts and dolls and all the other shit. I'm telling you, there should have been something. But you know what? At the very least, somewhere in the recent past, somebody from that organization should have said, "Hey, you know, we're going to look out for the guys who helped build this." And again, even if it's not a pension, you don't want to give them $1,000 a month, $2,000 a month, no problem. Give them health care.
I mean, you know, there's an old saying that says you have to give it. You have to give a damn. There's another way of putting it, but you have to really give a damn. And you know what? How much is enough for these guys? Like you said, Vince McMahon has got to be worth a couple of $1 billion. Very easy.
Oh, easy.
Very easy. And he's not going to take the money because it's not enough for him. To hell with you if you don't know what you were doing. You know, how many of these guys are bankrupt? Maybe you could take 5 or 6 guys and say that they're making money today, wrestling or getting, you know, making movies or whatever else they're doing. But they don't care about nobody.
No, I agree. I agree.
It's a shame, All right, I'm going to let you guys go. Enjoy the rest of your show.
Thanks,
Jeff,
Pops.
Take care, Tommy, and I'll talk to you too.
I'll see you in the weekend, Pops. Thank you.
Okay, guys. Take care. Bye-bye.
That's my dad. Checks in every week. Love having him on with us, and it's always fun to get Hard Rockin' Sports. Tom, Jeff, and all of you hanging out, talking right now, talking some wrestling. It's a potpourri. It's a smorgasbord show. That's what I'm calling tonight, the smorgasbord show. Big news before the show, Jeff. We had some big news before the show. The Hard Rockin' Sports Show is huge in the Ukraine. Huge in the Ukraine, Jeff. Could you have ever imagined at some point people would be listening to us in the Ukraine?
Well, I have a theory behind
you. You have a theory behind this?
I am
all ears.
It's not a good one.
It's not.
It's not a good one. No.
It's not a good. It's not.
It has recently come to my attention.
Uh-huh.
Of the possibility of war starting in that region.
It's very possible.
And I firmly believe that after seeing the numbers that what we have is the Ukraine, someone in the Ukraine is trying to contact us for help and needs our help and attention. And I think that that is, I think that has something to do with it, Tom. I don't think it's a matter of listening to the show. I think that reaching out to us.
So you think there's somebody out there who's saying, I think the two people out there who could actually help us get out of this mess we're in, let's call it, are Jeff and Tom from the Hard Rock and Sports Show. So they've reached out to us to let us know to send the authorities to help them.
Oh, I think they need more than just the authorities, Tom. You're talking an international thing. This isn't call the police, please. And
so this is we got to reach out to Sleepy Joe and have him send out the SEALs.
I think they want us to go above Sleepy Joe, over his head.
Now who would that be? He's the president of the United States. Who would be above Sleepy Joe?
Listen, there's always the president of the United States, but there's others. We know there's others. You know.
And have you contacted these others as Pharaoh and as the Pharaoh?
No,
is it
not.
Is it Pharaoh or the Pharaoh?
Depends. It depends on the mood, man. When I say, like, you know, when you say the Pharaoh, you're saying like it's like the Ohio State.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
University. It's showing that you're on the top of the game. But then there's other days when you just slip it in. You're just being casual. It's casual Pharaoh. You know what I mean? Like,
gotcha.
Like a fucking golf shirt and nice pants.
You're a little free button down.
Yeah.
Kind of nice slacks. Pants. Kind of slacks. Kind of thing. Kind of just chilling. You're Pharaoh. I'm Pharaoh. Yo, man. That's
Pharaoh.
It. Gotcha. It's an always interesting show here at Hard Rock and Sports. You never know what shows up on a Thursday night. And I got this before the show, by the way. And I think there's some sort of special thing happening in some point tonight. I don't know when, if that's still happening.
You know what? I did promise you a light show, didn't I?
That's why I said we'd celebrate our big, our momentous listenership by having this light show you promised.
All right. Here we go.
Really? This is what we're getting?
See that?
I don't see anything.
Fights, baby.
That's it?
See that on the phone?
Yeah.
That's the light show.
That's the light show? This is what you promised me?
Yeah.
Another dud. Anyway, Hard Rock and Sports here on Thursday night.
Another dud.
On Wednesday nights, if you're free and you want to listen to some great music talk, tune over to my good friends at RFO Records. I'm talking the Fast Lane with John Marhefka and all the people down at RFO Records. They get together every Wednesday night. They talk about the bands. They talk about music. And John does some great interviews. So make sure every Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, 2-9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. You try to find the boys at RFO Records on Talk in the Fast Lane, your place for great music talk. So let's keep talking about the boys down there. I love John and everybody. I listened to some great music. They had some sent some good stuff. I don't think they made any major announcements. I didn't see any this week, but lots of good stuff coming down the pike from those guys and Turbo Snake. Hydrogen and After the Fall and all those Mick Michaels and the Corners of Sanctuary. I love those guys. Lots of great music out there on the independent circuit. So do me a favor, get out there and check out all these indie bands and all the bands that are tied to RFL. Great stuff. So, but we're talking a little wrestling here. I don't know. Do we want to switch and come back? Do you want to stay with wrestling? What do you want to do? I'm going to give you the option.
Stay with wrestling for a while. I was just wanted to bring up, like, you know, the shelf life of a wrestler. It seems as though that they either come in their 20s and they're gone before 30 or they stay forever. And the ones that stay forever do not age well at all whatsoever. And that they just, you know, like these people, the beatings that they give themselves and they go through, it's unbelievable. But the years that it must wear off their bodies is unbelievable.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Unbelievable.
Well, I mean, let's you know, I mean, listen, it's a hard lifestyle. You're traveling, you're wrestling 6-7 times a night, a week, catching, you know, 350-pound people, 250-pound people just landing on you. You know, it's got to take its toll. I mean, I don't care. And then when you add in, you know, most of these guys seem to have hard lives of, you know, alcohol and drug use and everything else that goes with it. You know, it doesn't make for a long lifespan, and doesn't mean for a good one either.
No, not at all. But, I mean, most of them seem to end up committing suicide.
A lot of them, yeah.
Lack of lack of money, pain or injuries, and they just can't get themselves together.
Yeah.
You know, it's a shame because they put on such a front. And, you know, like, look at what Chris Benoit did, not so much injuries, but
yeah.
just whatever went through his head that day, and then he ended up killing his wife and kid and himself. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, some sick shit, man. Like, you just don't know. These guys, you see them every week, and
yeah.
bang. It seems as though that a couple of them, more than a couple of them, die every year.
Yeah, and again, you know, like, you know, well, I know you haven't seen the Jake the Snake one, but you see that, you know, here's a guy who was probably in his early 60s at that point. Who was basically fading away. I mean, just rotting away in a small house, no medical care, you know, drinking himself to death. You know, remember these guys are, some of these guys were icons of that era, and then they're just, you know, completely thrown away. And if it wasn't for Diamond Dallas Page and his program, Jake the Snake and Scott Hall may not be here today. And when you see the recovery of these guys, and you got to watch the documentary. The resurrection of Jake the Snake Roberts is one of the best documentaries I've ever seen. And you watch what these guys were fading to. Boy, I wish the Iron Sheik would. And the fact that guy's 80 years old and still kicking is amazing.
Yeah, I never knew that the Iron Sheik went through some of the things that he did, and it's a shame. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
You think about it and what these guys have gone through. And, you know, it seems as though that once you forget these guys, you just think that, okay, he's sitting at home relaxing. Maybe he makes a wrestling appearance here and there.
Yeah.
He's living off some money. But then you watch that like the documentary about the Iron Sheik, and you find out, like, you know, this guy's having trouble scraping money together to buy fucking peanut butter.
Yeah.
You know, it's scary shit because –
Yeah.
You know that these guys had plenty of money at one point in time, but,
yeah.
you know, they just wandered away.
Well, you said it, they live cash rich, and what happens, they never think it's going to end. And, you know, Sheik's ended when him and Duggan got caught on the turnpike, which I didn't know. I think it was a turnpike. Well, I knew that, but I didn't realize that their career, because at that moment, that there was still the lie of good guys, bad guys. And when people found out that the Sheik and Duggan, who was supposed to be this big, you know, this big rivalry, you know, we're traveling together and hanging out, it kind of blew it up. And that was, there was probably no bigger sin that they could have committed than to be in the same car.
Yeah. In the same car. Oh, excuse me. While fucking snorting coke and smoking weed.
Again, yeah. But I mean, so that was his downfall. The next thing you know, the guy's sitting in IHOP with pictures, hoping people come in and recognize him so he could sell them a picture. I mean, to me,
that was incredible.
I mean, it's sad. It's sad. You watch it, you're like, holy shit, this guy was one of the best wrestlers. He think about it. He had such a good run as a bad guy. You know, I mean, he went through all the first few WrestleManias, and then all of a sudden, he's just disappeared. And the next thing you know, I mean, he got saved by the Howard Stern Show because that blew up his awareness to people, and he was everywhere now. Now the Sheik is beloved out there.
Now let's see real quick if I can find his
what his stats
is. Not his stats. I want to find his Twitter page and see what he said the last couple of days.
Yeah, I also want to know, is Sheik really typing this stuff out, or is somebody else putting it out for him? Because it seems a little too coherent for me.
This was from April 10th. Me and Sergeant Slaughter wrestled in snow outdoors. We are the real men.
And you know what? He ain't far off. The guy. Okay.
I don't know if I can read this because I'm reading it in his voice as I'm reading it.
Yes, yes. You have to do it in his voice or it's not the same.
Yeah. Me and Nikolai beat the fuck out of the U.S. Express at the first WrestleMania. I drew 93,000 fans when we beat the fuck out of Brian Blair and Axel. Come save him at 17. Become Battle Royal Champion. Fuck Andre the Giant. It should be Iron Sheik Bubba Battle Royal.
He's great. So the documentary, you know, it's. I loved it because, and I'm so happy you watched it. But I loved it because it showed everything. Like, it gave you all the warts, you know, from how great he was as an amateur wrestler
I never knew.
The guy was the bodyguard for the Shah of Iran.
Which is amazing. That his whole tie to Iran was a sham.
No, I thought so too. So, I mean, honestly, so did I. Because how many times did we, were we told so-and-so was this, and you realize he had nothing to do with, you know, he has, So he really was.
It was supposed to be Indians, but meanwhile they're like fucking Polynesians.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, so I mean, it was great from that sense. And then you see all, you know, how his life deteriorates and how people actually stepped up for him. And those two brothers kind of resurrected his career and basically saved him. But that the guy is at 70-something years old is out scoring crack. The guy's out there scoring with my brown medicine, my green medicine. But it was also what I loved about the guy is raw. I mean, you watch it and he's, I bend you over. I F you like, and you just cry. You laugh because the voice, the face, you know, he's walking around on his feet that you look like any second they're just going to explode like they're baking bread in there.
And you
feel bad, but I also felt like it was kind of a celebration of who the guy was. And it was telling you all the good and the bad about the Iron Sheik. And I wish they'd do more of them, to be honest with you. What did you take away from it?
Pretty much what you said. And it's like I said, I was kind of shocked. I didn't know that the guy was in such dire straits, how bad he was. And I mean, yes, it was comical beyond belief. Like some of the things that came out about him and said were just great shit. Like you could just laugh at this shit. But to know that, you know, like how serious his position in life is, it's a shame. It really is. But this is another person that he did it to himself.
Oh, absolutely. Listen, there's nobody to blame but themselves at the end of the day. Hogan, you know, Hogan's perils have been self-inflicted for the most part. But, you know, at some point, there's got to be something to say, hey, I know these guys self-imploded. But we got to step up and help them out a little bit here. And I think that's a shame of it all for me. Watching the Jake the Snake one, and when you get a chance, and I'm going to make sure you watch it. When I come over to your house tomorrow, I'm going to make your wife write it down, and you're going to watch it because you're going to really enjoy it. But what you see is he reached out to Diamond Dallas Page. If he hadn't reached out for help at that moment, Jake the Snake probably would not be alive today. He would either drag himself to death or shot himself or done something. And then you watch the way he got to. And I haven't seen him lately, but what I'm told he's still going. I think it's amazing turnaround. So
it's a shame is right. But, you know, like he was such a dark character that you got to think how much of that is real. The darkness.
Oh, you know what, Jeff? I think a lot of it's real. I think when you go to a place like that, if you don't have it in you, it's hard to get there. You know, I think it's easy to be the good guy. I think it's easy to be Hulk Hogan. You know, I think when you watch the videos that I saw of Jake the Snake Roberts, you can look in that guy's eyes and say, that guy would stare me in the eye for just looking at him wrong.
That's quite possible, but I'm just talking like to deliver such a feeling and attitude and everything else. This isn't somebody that just like, all right, hold on, I gotta go do this.
Yeah,
and you know that he's living that moment.
Yeah,
you know
now again, I was not a fan of Jake the Snake Roberts' character. I always talked about them in characters. You know, there are certain guys. I was never a huge Sergeant Slaughter fan. You know, Jake the Snake's another guy that never really got it for me. He was a good wrestler. He was a good wrestler, don't get me wrong. But, you know, never.
Why? Because he wasn't built.
Yes.
The prototypical wrestler.
Yeah.
He had no build whatsoever.
No.
He had a little bit of a pot belly.
Yeah. You know he was drinking beers.
Kind of stupid.
I always thought the Snake thing was stupid as well. Yeah, I agree.
I didn't particularly like it.
No.
I just thought it was something different. Yeah. But it all in all the same, like, what was so special about Jake the Snake that made him such a great bad guy?
I don't know.
He was a mid-level card bad guy to me. You know,
I would agree with that.
Bad guy.
I would agree.
Didn't have it.
No, I agree.
No interest.
If you were trying to, like, he's a good card filler, but if you told me that you were building something around him, I would tell you you're wasting time. I had no interest in watching his matches. There are a few guys that way that were not interesting to me. Slaughter was another guy that just never caught my attention. I watched some of his matches.
He was big and bulky, and he couldn't move. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
He was just, like, kind of stiff. A lot of those big guys were.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, sure.
And it's just like, you know, with Sergeant Slaughter, he came when my first exposure to Sergeant Slaughter was him as a bad guy. And he just, like, kind of made a stupid bad guy because he was a bad guy at a time when we were fighting with Iraq or Iran or whatever it was. And it was like, why is somebody that's an American being cast off as a bad guy?
Yeah.
You know, and then, I mean, yeah, that changed. But when I first started watching wrestling again in the late 90s, early 2000s, and he was one of the fucking backstage lackeys, and he was getting camera time just because he was Sergeant Slaughter, and it was like, he didn't even care about him. Like, he was just there.
Well, even when he became a good guy and he was wrestling the Iron Sheik, it never grabbed me as a character. It just, you know, I don't know. It wasn't my thing. Like, there were certain people that I loved to watch wrestling, and then there was other ones you would watch because it was interesting. Like I think like a guy like Ricky the Dragon was never my favorite guy, but I loved watching the guy wrestle. You know, the Macho Man, loved to watch him wrestle. You know, Hulk Hogan, I liked Hulk Hogan, but I think the only guy really worse than him as a wrestler, Andre. And probably the Ultimate Warrior with probably the two guys I would put in that category.
You know what? Now, wrestling now, or at least when I was watching it, again, okay, with Triple H and Stone Cold Steve Austin, you would see the title change hands every 3 or 4 months. It would change hands. But back then, I mean, you had, what's his face? Bob Backlund? Bob Backlund.
5 years.
Title for 5 years.
Yeah.
The Iron Sheik had it once, lost it in his first title defense, and then Hulk Hogan held on to it for the better part of how many years he would lose it.
I would say at least 7 years, I think he was back and forth with it, no?
Yeah. He would lose it when he needed to step away, but then as soon as he came back, he would win.
Yes.
And when you look back at it, it's like, you know what, why is this guy winning so much? What is making it so good? His matches are pretty much scripted, the whole thing. You know,
it was the character.
You watched two matches. You know what was going to happen.
Oh, 100%. But it was the character. It was the people. You know, I've learned it. A lot of it is about the promo. How good are you with the? I mean, the Randy Savage was a really good wrestler, but his promos were amazing. So the promos were almost as good as the matches. And some of the matches were great. Some of these guys were really good wrestlers, but there was some really good like Ricky Steamboat should have been a bigger wrestler. Name-wise, because he was a great wrestler, but his promos sucked. He really was just terrible talking on TV.
He didn't have much of a personality.
Agreed, 100%. But so to me, it was a lot about the personality. Hogan was great doing the promos. So was Savage. So was even the Ultimate Warrior. Some of them were classics. Roddy Piper was the best at it. Roddy Piper was a good wrestler who did great promos and was probably the best heel, especially heel. The Piper's Pit was among the best things ever invented for wrestling.
Yeah,
so
I would have to say that. And I was not a big Piper fan. Well, actually, you know what? When you think back at it and you say, what did this guy mean to you at the time? And then you realize, be like, you know what? I hated Piper.
So did I.
He was doing his job.
So absolutely.
He was doing his job to the utmost.
If you hated a wrestler, he was doing his job. The Iron Sheik, I hated the Iron Sheik. Nikolai Volkov hated Nikolai Volkov.
Oh, my God. Carry on. I got to step away.
Hard Rock and Sports, Jeff and Tom here on a Thursday night. I hope you guys are enjoying a little wrestling talk. We got a lot to get to still. We'll talk some hockey. We'll talk a little baseball. We'll talk a little bit of football. Remember, next week, guys, Frank Jeffrey and Matt Salicci are NFL gurus. They're experts, as people are calling them on the internet. Will be with us to do our draft preview show. Remember, the 29th, we'll actually be on the air doing the draft live, like we always do. We'll have it up on the screen. I think Jeff will be in his house, and I'll be here. And we'll do the show, and we'll talk about the draft. But next Thursday night, come on. We'll spend about an hour and change with Matt and Frank, and we'll break down at least the first 10 or 12 picks, and we'll tell you where we think people are going with the draft. So make sure you tune in next Thursday night, 7 o'clock, for the draft preview show. And, of course, on the 29th, make sure you come back while Jeff and I break down the NFL draft with some help from our friends. So, all right, make sure you come back every Thursday night for the Hard Rockin' Sports Show. You can catch us on – go to YouTube. All our shows are there, the Hard Rockin' Sports YouTube channel. You can also go to Spotify. All the shows are there. All 400-and-something shows are on Spotify, so make sure you go check us out and hear some of the old shows with some of the old great guests. And, again, we got plenty to still talk about tonight. I'm down on baseball at this moment. The basketball thing, I tell you, it's annoying the crap out of me. These guys, I'm going to pick on the Nets because I pay attention to it more there. But, boy, oh, boy, they are very hard. I mean, these guys just don't play. I mean, I listened to Chris Russo the other day, and Russo was blasting these guys, and rightfully so. How do you sell tickets at the prices you charge? It's an exorbitant fee to park your car, get a soda, get a hot dog, and then people show up, and you know what? You could say you're going to root for the team, but there's no way in the world, if you're a Net fan, you don't want to go there and see Harden play. You don't want to see Kevin Durant play. You want to see Kyrie Irving play. And then you certainly want to see all three of them together. And they don't play. I think it's seven games that all three of those guys have been on the court for the whole thing, together. Seven games. Now, again, I get it, but you're devaluing the regular season. You're telling the fans that the regular season means nothing. We're going to cruise to the playoffs, and then we'll turn it on. And I have to tell you, if I'm ever going to root against the team, I will root against the Brooklyn Nets, excuse me. I will be rooting against the Brooklyn Nets bigger than you could say. And I got to tell you, I hope it's the Knicks, and I hope the Knicks beat them. Now, that'll probably be the end of me watching basketball once the Knicks are out. But I have to tell you, it's hard to root for these guys. They don't play. Okay? The game is all about the three-pointer. Teams don't play defense. I'll give the Knicks credit. They play some great defense. They played a great game against the Pelicans the other night. They stoned Zion Williamson. Good for the Knicks. I love the way they play the game so far. But it's few and far between. And I have to tell you, this whole thing of athletes not playing, I mean, game three, Giancarlo Stanton can't play. Well, maybe it wasn't up to him. Maybe it's Aaron Boone. Judge misses a game. Got to sit this guy. Pitch four innings. It's annoying, and it's you makes you not want to watch these guys play. It really does. I got to tell you, I won't watch basketball. I mean, I watch hockey. These guys kill each other. I mean, and it's not as violent as it was. But, I mean, go back to the 80s. I mean, these guys played every night. These guys played 80 games. Havlicek's and the Larry Birds. These guys showed up and played every night. I mean, and some of those Celtic teams, some of those, teams back then had multiple Hall of Famers. They could have took nights off. They came and played. And then they traveled. They flew coach. These guys played basketball. They played baseball every night. Took trains to get there. Come on, man. It's just ridiculous. This is why people dislike sports today. And not even sports. It's the athletes. I love the games. I still love it. But come on. It's enough. Stop messing with it. These people, these guys, they make hundreds of millions of dollars in their career, and they can't play two nights in a row. They can't play 70 of 80 games. I mean that's even nothing. You're working three nights, four nights a week. Come on. It's a 48-minute game. You can't play the whole thing. You can't play the whole thing. Come on. It's ridiculous, guys. And I don't get it, and I never will, so don't try to make me, because I'm never going to understand it. So I hope you guys are hanging with us and enjoying it. I want to talk about the football, Jeff. I mean, they announced today, I saw in the paper yesterday, excuse me, that at least four teams so far, and the Players Association, all four teams have said they will not show up for any in-person workouts in the voluntary end. I think they have to show up for mini camps and training camps, obviously. And all the off-season programs, they want to be virtual. Jeff, not for nothing, but if they're all getting vaccinated, why can't they show up for work? Why can't the NFL players who have the best medical care in the world, have major contracts, why can't they show up for work?
Tom, I had different Chinese food tonight. All right.
This is throwing you off.
I'm definitely surprised that my players' union didn't call off tonight's activities because of it. But you're 100% right. And it's a shame because now they just announced, they were nice enough to announce on TV that if you got vaccinated, you might need or will need from Pfizer a booster shot in 12 months. You will need a booster shot of Moderna in 6 months. And you will have a booster shot from Johnson & Johnson within a year also.
And by the way, you saw that they pulled it. They stopped giving out the Johnson & Johnson one because people were getting all sorts of issues from it.
Yeah, somebody said, I seen on Facebook, I was arguing with somebody. I love to piss them off with this shit.
I saw your post, yeah.
Yeah, but they said, not my post, it was on my cousin's post.
Oh, okay.
Long story. That six people in a million had blood clots. Do you really think that they would have pulled this shit off the shelf if six people in a million had blood clots?
Yeah.
You know, come on. There was something else going on, something more to that. It wasn't just six people. Come on.
You know,
I don't know how many people, but it was definitely had to be more than six. Six people probably wouldn't even put it together and be like, oh, shit, it's from the fucking vaccine.
I had this conversation with a bunch of young guys I work with, and they're all pretty cool about it. And they're all up in the air about whether to get the vaccine and this and that. And I said to them, guys, they said, are you getting it? I said, no. And they said, why? What makes you not want to get it? And I said, when they told me I needed to take the measles vaccine, they told me I would never get it again. Same thing with mumps, rubella. Polio, get the shot, you're never going to get it. When you tell me that not only is there a chance I might have to upgrade and there's still a chance I can get it, and in fact, I have to still wear a mask and all that, then why am I getting the vaccine? What good is it doing me? To me, at that point, it can only hurt me. And why am I getting it?
You know what? Even if it doesn't hurt you, let's just say that it will not hurt you.
Okay.
To get the vaccine. Okay. That in 5 years you're not going to be dead, or you're not going to have this, you're not going to have that. Let's say that that's just a scare, and you don't know because we don't know until it happens.
Sure.
But just the mean thought that you're going to take this vaccine to prevent yourself from getting this virus, but yet when you leave there, you still have to wear the mask and stay away from everybody.
Right.
It makes no sense.
Right.
Now I'm not saying that you should be running up in people's faces with or without the virus.
Okay.
Over the summer, you were at my house. Okay?
Uh-huh.
We all, I'm not going to say took a chance, but we all trusted one another to say, okay, nobody has any hidden symptoms. Nobody's,
sure.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
But then again, nobody was in everybody else's faces.
Correct.
You know, we all kept our distance from one another. And guess what? Lo and behold, not one person at that fucking get-together ended up having that fucking virus.
That's very true.
Okay, and we're still doing lockdown on some levels.
Yeah,
and it's a shame.
Absolutely,
it really is a shame.
100%.
Goddamn shame.
Yeah,
when do you think it's going to stop? Well, in your estimation, when do you think?
Jeff, I think it's never. I was listening today to something. I don't listen to a lot of the news, and Tony Fauci, who I despise at this point in my life, I despise the guy. I think the guy is completely just overrated and hanging on to his celebrity. But they asked him, like, okay, at what point do you think it's going to be safe to be back to normal? And they said right now there are still 60,000 people, I think, a month getting the COVID thing, but the death rates and the hospital rates are way down. And he said, I just don't know. And they said, well, aren't you supposed to know? Like, at what point do you say, well, it's down to 500 people a month, it's down to 10,000 people a month? And the people who were talking, and they were very smart about it, they said, he doesn't want to. They don't want to relinquish that control over you. He doesn't want to say, well, when you get to this, then you're good, because when it gets to that, he won't be able to back away from it. And for the guy who's supposed to be the expert, you know, at what point do you go, you know, people get, you know, the flu is deadly. People get it every year. We don't hide in our house. At what point?
Let me give you a couple numbers real quick because I just looked it up.
Go ahead.
I was looking them up. Active coronavirus cases worldwide, 139,658,595. Coronavirus deaths, 2,998,743. The number that nobody is telling you at all whatsoever, the number that nobody ever mentions, okay, the number of people recovered, 118,710,591 out of 139,658,595 have recovered. Right now, there's 17.9 million active cases worldwide. 17,912,158. 17,842,562 people, or 99.4, are in mild condition. 106,699, or 0.6, are in serious or critical condition. Last set of numbers, closed cases. Closed cases. There was 121,746,437 cases which had an outcome. Okay? There was 118,710,591 that were recovered or discharged, or 98% of those that were closed cases that survived, that lived. 2% have died. 2,998,743. Is this virus something to joke about? No. No virus that kills anybody is something to joke about. But with those numbers, 98% recovered or discharged. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Come on. You're going to tell me that there's just as many people dying from eating fucking McDonald's for most of their lives.
Again, I won't argue that the COVID is probably more easily to catch. Maybe it's more infectious. I don't know how to word it. But I also tell you that you get that most people come out of it. And I'll give you a quick example. A dear friend of ours, who's actually part of the show, his mom passed away not too long ago, and they listed the cause of death as COVID-related. And he will tell you, he will fight you to the death and tell you that she died of a heart disease. She had heart disease, and her heart gave out during the COVID. And but they listed her death as a COVID death.
And it's a shame.
Yeah. How many other people did it happen to?
I don't know what – I can't figure out, just like everybody else, what is it that they're getting over doing this?
Don't know.
What is this?
Yeah.
What is this?
Don't know.
You know, they keep saying that this new strain.
Yes, the Brazilian strain, yeah.
Okay, so then why aren't we all going in hiding while this strain comes and goes?
Don't know, because I don't know.
We're still going out to work. We're still doing what we got to do.
Yeah.
They're telling us about the strain in the news, and meanwhile they're saying, well, now we're up to 50% capacity indoor dining.
Yeah.
You can take your mask off indoors when you go in there. But if you go up to the bathroom, you got to take it, you got to put it back on.
Yeah.
Because, you know, of course, the COVID level is
down
here and there, you know.
I get it. Listen, I don't discount that the fact that there's a disease and some people should be careful. But I'll say it a million times, you should have freedom. If you want to go to a restaurant that requires you to wear a mask, go to a restaurant that requires you to wear a mask. If you want to go to a restaurant that doesn't, then go to that restaurant. If I want to get the thing, if everybody out there is getting vaccinated and I don't, and you're safe, what does it matter if I do or don't? The only person that I affect is me and somebody else who decides that they don't want to be, who don't want the vaccine. So we'll live our lives that way.
That is a good question. That is a good answer, because one of the arguments that I had going back and forth with one of these fucking idiots about this shit that says to me, you're infecting others. Well, if you got the vaccine, then you got nothing to worry about.
Exactly. Exactly right.
The only person I'm going to infect is somebody else that doesn't have the vaccine, and vice versa.
Right.
And that is the absolute way to look at it, because if you're wearing your mask and you're social distancing, okay, and for those that like to social distance, that's a good thing. Okay, it really is. Stay to 6 feet away, even though your saliva and everything that gets discharged from your nose and your mouth could travel up to 30 feet.
Yeah.
So you're 6 feet away from me is definitely within certain guidelines, the ground zero, so to speak. You know, it ain't helping you out.
I wonder if you can spread COVID crop dusting people in like a Kmart or a Walmart. Can you crop dust and give people COVID?
God, Tom, that would be a beautiful thing, wouldn't it?
Imagine.
I would learn how to ride a skateboard and just go.
What if they figured that out and they said, Jeff, you have to wear a COVID mask on your anus?
With a filter.
Yeah, with a filter. Like one of those charcoal filters that sticks out of your butt. Yeah, like
a Brita fart filter.
Yeah. Like if they said, we've discovered today, I can see Fauci come up, we've made a big discovery. If you're walking to Walmart, you cannot crop dust people because you are spreading the virus. Jeff, I would go eat a can of beans and run directly to Walmart and just go up and down the aisles.
You gotta go to fucking White Castle.
Yeah, just crop dust the hell out of the place. I would say if that was the case, I would be responsible for wiping out probably 2/3 of New Jersey, considering.
I would volunteer to do magic shows in kids' schools and really fuck with people.
I'm telling you, I go into Walmart, stand online, and it's like, oh boy, don't be behind me. It's like the worst. I don't know why what Walmart does to me. I usually go after I drop my wife off to work on a Saturday or a Sunday, and I'll just be in there waiting on the self-service line, just bombing the place. Just, I could care less. I'm just ripping. Like, it's not even like I'm trying to hide it. I could care less. I'm just crop dusting the whole place. And every once in a while, like, there'll be so many others, like, it's like this whole walkway, and it's like there's all this, like, candy aisle, and on the other side of it is all the machines. And I'll be just blasting away, and somebody on the side just look up at me like, what was that? It's the best. I could care less. I just said, what if you could get the people crop dusting them? By the way, if people don't know what crop dusting is, it's when you fart and just let it blast and let it just linger.
It means to spread it like a crop dust.
Yeah.
You know, like I myself, during the holiday season, Christmas, I would like to ride the escalator. And time it where you just start at the top and just as you're going down, just let it seep right out. And then if you get off, just turn around, stand there purposely, maybe look at someone on your phone and be like, you can look up and just see the faces. Like,
just people waving him back and forth.
Like, is that a dead bird or something? Or like, you know, something.
Yes, I couldn't agree with you more. So I'm only praying that they take it so far as to say, well, we've just discovered that crop dusting kills. That would be the ultimate for me. By the way, whenever you get the chance, make sure you buy your own version of The Captain and Me by Ron Bloomberg. It's a great little book. It's a great little book, so I recommend it. I've gotten through a few pages so far, and I hope you guys will go out to Ron's website and purchase it like I did and support Ron Bloomberg with The Captain and Me and his story. It's not a biography of Thurman Munson. It's kind of the relationship between Ron and Thurman, and it's pretty cool. Pretty cool book. So, but let's get on to a little bit of football, Jeff. It's getting a little late in the show. I couldn't believe we've done an hour and 20 minutes of all wrestling and crop dusting at this point. We've probably reached the low point of our show in the history of our show.
Listen. People don't want to realize, and there's going to be people that are watching this going to be like, oh, that's disgusting. How could you talk about that? How could you guys? How it is natural.
Yes.
It is natural. You're all doing it. We're all doing it. The hot girl that you see in movies and videos and in person and everywhere, she does it.
Yep.
We all do it.
We just admit to it.
We all do it.
We just admit to it.
So,
yeah.
So no matter who you see, there's nobody in this world that's not fucking doing it.
Listen, I would tell you that as a kid, the greatest crop dusting was probably Jeff, but was the guy who controlled the door locks in the car and got you while he was driving. Nothing better.
My daughter up, and I would have the button to lock the window.
Yes.
And she'd be in there fucking yapping away, telling me everything that happened since the last day that I seen her, which was probably the day before.
Uh-huh.
And I just looked at her, and I just hit the button. I hit click, click. And she'd be talking, blah, 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 and she would just stop. You know what I mean? And just like, no, okay, I know what this means now. And then she would just like, don't. I'm like, nope, sorry, kid. This is it.
Our good friend Leonard Anthony and his team, the Leonard Anthony Amigos, out in the East Shore Little League. Hey, Leonard, how'd the team do? Did you guys win this week? I got stuck work and I couldn't get out to see the game. I'm going to get there one of these Saturdays, though. How'd you guys do? By the way, Leonard, check out the book, Captain and Me by Ronnie Bloomberg. Got to get this one. Yes. How you doing, buddy, Leonard? Good. Nice to pop in there. Thank you for doing that. We got to get...
the football thing? What is
the football was I blasted. I want to get to more baseball. I'm going to blast some of the guys. Hicks is not playing and all that, and the way the Yankees are playing. But we'll do it after this segment right here. So four teams: Broncos, Bucks, Seahawks, and who's the other team? Lions. They need every bit of practice they can get. Have announced that they will do no in-person, virtual, voluntary OTAs. And the NFL has basically sent out a memo to restructure the off season. So during all meetings will be virtual, no contact at all. I think no training rooms. So you told there's mini camp and told there's training camp, there's no contact. And four teams already come out and said we're doing very little of any of that. And I started off with I think you were checking the plumbing in your bathroom at the time. And I said that, you know, at some point, these guys are making millions of dollars, have the best health care in the world. You know, when is it going to be enough to stop hiding and go out there and live your life? And it just kind of annoys me when I read that, Jeff. So I'm curious your thoughts.
I know this much. Mm-hmm. It ain't going to happen this year, which leads me to believe that you're already encroaching upon next year.
Yes.
And it's not looking good for next year either.
No, I would agree with you. I would agree that we're living this nightmare. I was hoping we'd be done, but no, you're right. It's going to be at least through the winter into spring of next year before we even remotely have a chance.
I looked up earlier. I went online and I wrote Google, when will the pandemic be over? And one article I found said 7 years.
Oof.
God, I don't have 7 years. You know what I mean?
Well, it would probably be coinciding with your retirement, so it might work out for you.
Oh, no. News.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. The New York State, whoever, and I don't really care who it is, but as long as everybody's saying yes, have voted to say yes to a buyout.
Oh, wow.
Now, the governor and the mayor have to sign on that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They have to sign on that. And if they do, I could be out of here, you know, retired.
Mm-hmm.
By probably July 11th.
Wow. Wait, this is huge news. But now, okay, so are you going to take, obviously you'll take the buyout because I'm sure that comes with a lump sum of money.
Well, yeah, it would be I don't know exactly how they would pay me for my time that's there, but I would start collecting my pension with no penalty.
Wow, that's huge news. Good for you. I'm glad to hear that. So now.
But that means I have to get another job, though.
Oh, that's the tough part. Well, listen, you can always go work in Walmart and crop dust Walmart.
I would look for another job and look for something that has a pension.
Sure, why not?
You know, because to tell you the truth, my thing is this. I would have to see, and I would go, and the question I would ask is, what happens if I stay till I'm 62?
Right.
What number would they project me to get then? And then because of the buyout, I would get almost an additional 3 years of time, so it would bring me from 34 years to 37 years.
Okay.
All right? So that being said, that's going to add more. So it comes down to how much would I make for retiring at 37 years? How much time would I get for retiring at 41 and a half years?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to tell me that, well, you can retire at 37 years and make $5,000 a month.
Uh-huh.
But if for 41 and a half years, you're going to make $52.50 a month.
Right.
And it's like, well, you know, fuck you, $250. I'll find that in a sofa somehow.
Sure. Right? Yeah.
You know, I'll go just look at the curb when I walk in the street. And
yeah.
Find it. But, you know, I'm out of here.
Well, if I could retire, I would be doing it tomorrow. I'd be in Florida in a week if it was possible.
Well,
so,
see, now here's the thing.
Good.
I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to be looking for a job, and I know somebody that's just supervisor in the construction industry.
Oh, you'd want to do that? Listen, if you called me tomorrow and said you wanted to come over, I would find you something tomorrow. So that's easy. I would warn you not to, but I would absolutely positively find you something.
As long as I just get a hard hat and a vest, and I can just do one of those, like, yeah, drop that over there or whatever.
Listen, it's not out of the realm of possibility. That's for sure. It's not pretty on my end. So, I will tell you in a heartbeat. Just let me know when you want to start. That's all I can tell you.
Listen, you need somebody to carry your fucking laptop, don't you?
Yes, I do. Of course I do. But, well, listen, we'll cross that bridge when it gets there. But I will tell you that I'm glad to hear you'll have the option to step back if you want, collect a pension.
I don't blame you.
I'm heading to Florida myself, and my wife and I are going to go to Florida in a couple of weeks to do a little recon. We are
area?
Well, I'm going to stay in Tampa, but I rented a pickup truck, and we're going to get in the truck, and I'm going to go. I picked out a few places. I want to do a little sightseeing. I want to go to Steinbrenner Field in Tampa. I want to go to Hulk Hogan's Beach Shop in Clearwater, Florida. Nico McBrain has a rib place in somewhere in Florida. So I'm going to go to all of those. But we're going to do a little recon, kind of check out some of the neighborhoods. We're going to check out some places that we may want to relocate to. I'm actually thinking of buying a vacation home in Florida to rent out during the year. So, you know, we're going to do a little research. But, yeah, we hope to be somewhere in the next few years, be living in the warm state, a little conservative state, and kind of hopefully I could take a step backwards and, you know, I'm not retiring anytime soon, but maybe work someplace where I don't have to deal with the winters and break my ass like I do now.
No, good for you, man.
We'll see. Good like I said, a little bit of a pipe dream, but, you know, it's something you got to look forward to. So, yes, I mean.
Listen, you call it a pipe dream, and I understand, but. You know what, Tom? One of these days, the pipe dream's actually going to work out.
Nope.
It's the cancer diagnosis that you're going to get 6 months after the pipe dream that's yeah. going to be the rough part of life, you know?
Yeah. Oh, Rock and Sports always dropping a bomb right on you.
Well, listen, it's just life. Dude. That's all it is.
But you know what, Jeff? Yeah.
Don't work out well, you know?
No, I agree. And that, you know, and I woke up one morning and I said, you know, we've been promising to go away and do something. And I said, no, let's just go to Florida. I'm taking off for Friday. We're going to fly down on Friday morning. We're going to fly home on Monday night. And we're just going to get in a pickup truck. I've always wanted a pickup. I said, we're going to rent one. And we're just going to drive everywhere we want and just check out places and see a bunch of sites. I mean, I want to walk into Hulk Hogan's Beach Shop. And I want to walk into Steinbrenner Field and have some fun.
You know what kind of truck you're renting?
Yes, I do know it. I want to say it's a Nissan, a Nissan pickup, I think.
Okay, because the reason I ask is because a friend of mine just rented a pickup and drove from New York down to Key West where his brother lives.
Oh, that's a far long. That's a far drive.
Yes, it was. Yeah, it probably took him like 2 days.
I would say, yeah.
Driving. But he ended up getting a Jeep Gladiator.
A Jeep Gladiator? I never heard of that one.
It's the Jeep pickup.
Okay.
It looks just like a Jeep, but instead of having a back, it's a pickup.
Oh, I've seen it. I've seen it. Oh, really?
He loved it. Yeah,
no, but, I don't think it's that, but good.
The new Nissan, they just came out with the Nissan Frontier, which looks like a pretty cool little truck.
That might be it. I'm not 100% sure. All I said was it's a four-door, so it's got to be a decent-sized truck. I don't pay for mileage.
It could be a mid-size.
Yeah, it could be. I'm just saying it's not a smaller truck, I don't think. But I said, you know, I've wanted a pickup truck. I might buy one eventually someday. I almost got the Dodge Charger, but I said I don't really feel like driving 200 miles an hour and killing myself. So I thought better than a pickup truck. For us big guys, it's nice to have a little room to hang out.
Yeah.
It's going to be hot.
Try to get in and out of a fucking car, Tom.
Yeah, it's no fun, believe me. I take my wife. My wife's got something that's a little bit bigger than a smart car, and it's not fun to drive for me, but I can do it. So
I just pretended I was in Walmart.
Nice Hard Rock and Sports, Jeff and Tom. Thursday night, we're just winging it, folks. Having some fun. We're talking about anything that comes across, including farting and crop dust in Walmart. So we're glad. Don't forget, next Thursday night, we're back doing it all over again. The Jeff Preview Show with Frank Jeffrey. And Matt Salicci.
I am psyched for the fucking draft, man.
Yes,
oh my God.
Yes, it's going to be. I want to talk a little bit about the draft tonight. We'll shift over there and have some fun with that. But you know, make sure. But Jeff, I will absolutely, positively be bringing you back some souvenirs from Florida. I'm going to Hogan's Beach Shop. I have to bring you back some from Hogan's Beach Shop.
As nice as that is for you, I wouldn't expect that, and I'm not looking for that. You know what would make me happier is if you went down there. And you turn around and you told me I must be retarded for going down there and think I'm going to live the rest of my life and stay up here with me. That would be what I would. It would be the ultimate fucking.
Oh, listen, again, at this point, who knows, that might still be the case. Right now, I told my wife, I'm not ready to move at this moment in my life. But I will tell you, I did get a job offer for a company in Florida, which I've kind of passed on, obviously. But they're out there. If I wanted to shift gears, I could. But, you know, my friends, my family, my life right now is here. But I'm looking for some place where after Christmas I can go for a couple weeks and enjoy myself. So that's really what I'm looking to start with right now. We'll see. We will see. We'll have something to see. Think about Hall of Fame weekend in Cooperstown. You know, Leonard, I thought about that, but I know that this year they're not even doing the parade. They're not doing any of that stuff. I think everything is virtual for Cooperstown this year. I don't even know how many people they're letting in. So we can talk about it. I'm always up for a remote. That's a little bit of a drive to Cooperstown, but, you know, it's something to think about. We'll talk about that one. And thank you for the offer. That's very nice of you.
It's a shame that things just ain't normal.
No, it is
oh
a shame.
My God.
I'll tell you a quick funny one before we get to football. So I got some cousins who live in Florida who I've never met, by the way. But Rose, I'm sure you've seen her on my pages.
Yeah, you never met her?
Never met her. She's my father's cousin's wife. So I'm not even blood related. She happens to be one of the nicest people I've ever talked to. Met her strictly. My brother did the 23andMe, met her there. And then Rose and I and her husband and her sister-in-law, Julie, we kind of became friendly. You know, we kind of watch each other on Facebook and all the other shit. So her husband, Joe, who's my father's cousin, who my father's never met, by the way, first cousin,
yeah.
Wow. Asked me to send them some bread from New York. They used to live up here. They've been in Florida for a while, and they were missing the bread. So I went to the deli, and I wrapped up some bread for them. And then I said, well, you know what? Let me be nice. Let me overnight them. I'll get them some mozzarella. I'll get some cold cuts, and I'll send it down to them. Let me be a nice guy, right, Jeff? I'm a good guy. You can't say that I'm not a good guy. So I said, let me do that. So I go to the deli. I spend about $80 on cold cuts. Not on purpose, but I kind of overordered.
It happened.
So I take the cold cuts. I go out to the car. I wrap them up in tin foil. I put some freezer packs in it. Put it in a box. I wrap the whole thing up. I go to the thing, and it take a guess on how much they wanted to charge me to send it to their not even guaranteed in for one day travel. One day to get a small box. Couldn't have been 5 pounds, 6 pounds to Florida.
$125.
$132 to send it down there. I said, I liked them. I'm not sure I liked them that much. So I sent it a different way for like $50 and it took like 2 days to get there. But they said everything was still fresh and good and they were able to eat it.
That's what it matters.
Yes.
Most of that stuff, that Italian food, like them cold cuts, is salted meat anyway.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know?
Yeah. Well, my problem is I sent them. I ordered a pound of prosciutto, and a pound of prosciutto is like $28.
Yeah. Oh. Well, that's good stuff, man.
Yeah. So it's the best. Oh my God, it's absolutely the best. So anyway, that's just my quick spend too much money on something to story. So, but I'll be in Florida, and my friends and family that are down there, I'll be down there for a weekend with my wife. If you're offering free food, we may stop by and catch a free meal from you. So give us a shout.
That's cool.
Yep. So we'll see what happens. And now if I were to get a vacation, let me ask you this question, Jeff. I know you're not a big travel guy. If I had a vacation home in Florida, would you think about I know you don't fly. You don't like to fly. Would you think about jumping in the car? You're a retired man. You got a pension coming in, driving down and spending a couple weeks in the Sunshine State.
I'd have to, Tom. I'd have no choice.
Why is that?
I'd want to see it.
Oh, there you go.
Listen, we don't get to see one another in person that much.
Nope.
And this weekend we'll get to do that
tomorrow night. That's right.
A little bit.
Yep.
But at least I get to see you on the show.
Yep.
You know, we talk on the phone. We don't even talk on the phone that much. But if you're that way, down that far, it's going to be one of those things. Like, you got to get there. I got to get down there once in a while. You know.
Absolutely.
And tell Sharon, it's like, listen, I'm going to go take a ride down there and. You know, you man the fort over here, you know.
Well, of course your wife would be invited to come down as well.
Nah.
Go yourself.
She has to work.
She has to work. You'll be a retired. You'll be a retired gentleman. She'll have to work.
Sure. Now, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
What happens to me if this retirement comes true.
Okay.
What do I do? Like, I'm thinking, like, I'm already looking at different things online just to see where's hiring right now. And I see the Lowe's and Home Depot
sure,
are hiring.
Absolutely.
And, you know, the Price Club and CVS and
Amazon.
I want something that's going to have a pension.
Well, you gotta find it now. You gotta find it in that crowd. I mean, I mean, finding a pension.
I heard that the Price Club does.
Oh, does it really?
I heard the Price Club starts with like $20 an hour, and you can get a pension there, 401.
Well, listen, you know, to me, Jeff, you can get the vest and the hat and stand in front of Walmart and open the door. Welcome to Walmart. Enjoy your shopping experience. I mean, you got that kind of credibility.
Yeah, but
you know, it's a good spot for you.
No, I want a union.
You want a union job?
Yeah. Definitely, man, because you get a job like that, and it's like you say good morning or hello instead of good morning, and that's it. You're gone.
You're gone. That's
you
all
know,
you're out the door.
Ain't much you going to do about it either.
Nope, there's nothing you can do about it. But listen, that's the nature of the beast. And listen, I'm sure you'll take a little time off. You'll enjoy maybe the summer and then go out and find yourself a little something. But maybe you'll decide to go out and work right away. I don't ever imagine myself being able to retire. My fantasy is to be able to work less, just a few hours less a week, maybe if one or two days less a week. That is my fantasy. That is absolutely positively. I went so far to check out to see what I would get from Social Security if I retired at 62 or 67 or 70, just to kind of gauge it out on how long I have to do this. That's what I did.
I'm lucky where I have a city pension, and, you know, I hope that that's not the case for you. Hopefully you find a winning lottery ticket or something.
Well,
you know,
in the Florio family, we are not lucky. You know, we're hard workers. We ain't lucky.
Well, listen, I didn't exactly find mine yet either. But, you know, I do know that when the time comes, it's going to be like, I got to get out of here, and that's that. And I'm really banking on this, and I really hope it would be nice.
Oh, it'd be great. I pray for you at this moment. I think that would be the best thing in the world. I know how much you hate doing it.
Yeah.
So I hope that it comes through. You put a few dollars in your pocket and you get to go start gnawing at the pension a little sooner than expected. And ain't nothing wrong with that. And you go out and you find yourself a little something and keep yourself busy.
See, that's the thing, though. I'm working. I'll definitely look for something.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
you know, I got to find something.
Yeah. Again, like I said, my motto has been the last 10 years. It's not that I want to retire. I just want to be able to retire. Like, I want to be able to work when I want to work and do what I want when I want to do it. And unfortunately, you know, listen, I'm still too young, and I still got a few more years, and I still got a few more things to take care of, and then we'll explore that game. But one thing I won't be retiring from anytime soon is the Hard Rockin' Sports Show. So if you're retiring, Jeff, the only thing I can hope for, you'll show up on Thursday nights, you'll take your nap in the middle of the day. You'll be well rested and you'll be ready to do the show for a few more years because I think I got a little more left in me. I can't do it without you.
Of course. I mean, I don't have any. Where am I going to go? What am I going to do?
Yeah. You know, I got
you. I go to work. Like this week, two guys at work almost killed one another.
Yeah.
Because one had food in the freezer and the other one didn't like the guy that had the food in the freezer.
Oh, come on.
So now he's like, you know, this shit's got to go. It smells. Meanwhile, I'm like, I go in there to see what it is because I'm the supervisor.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, one, I don't smell nothing.
Yeah.
Okay. And unfortunately, you know, I have my opinions about both guys. And the guy that I kind of favor is kind of wrong. And
oh.
But I'm like, listen, I don't smell anything, man. You know, I don't know. Be careful with this one. And then, you know, these two guys went at it again today. Somewhat, I didn't see it. But, you know, I it's not done yet. And now next week, of course, I'll be the one stuck with them.
Oh, yes.
No, it's unbelievable. I'll be the one stuck with these fuckers.
Let's start the countdown to July 11th, and let's hope for the best, and you get rid of all of this, and on to the next problem in your life. But, hey, speaking of problems in your life, Jeff, real quick. I mean, first off, guys, anybody watching Mets and Yankees right now? The Mets are playing decent ball. You know, I thought the whole Conforto thing last week was Bush League. But the Yankees, same problems, man. The pitchers let them down tremendously. I mean, it's just ridiculous. But I expect the pitching to get better. But, man, oh, man, they can't hit in a big spot. The defense has been bad, especially Torres. I don't know why they're benching Frazier so far. It's ridiculous. Let the kid play. Let him work through it. I love Gardner like anybody else. You're going to bench anybody, bench Hicks. Judge, you know, two blasts last night. They still lose the game. They get nothing out of first base. Give Ford a chance. Let Ford play, and let's go to Higashioka. I am tired of Sanchez. Let's play Higashioka and move on and try to salvage the season. Let's, you know, it's too early to give up, but we got to right the ship. So there's my my baseball rant for today so far. We'll get to more maybe a little later. But Jeff, can the Redskins actually draft another quarterback in the first round?
Tom, this first round or this round with these quarterbacks, so many different things I hear. I hear Trey Lance's name mentioned, Justin Fields' name. It's like they don't have a home yet, and every other day they're being linked to somebody different, different team. Today I heard Trey Lance is being linked to the Washington football team, the Washington Redskins.
Saw the same thing.
And a lot of people are saying a lot of good things about him.
Yep.
Justin Fields, his stock is picking up, it seems. But yet he's going further down the line.
Yes.
I don't understand that.
Well, because it's the same old thing. First off, there's been some questions about his work ethic. Two of the games that he played bad last year were against the better teams. He had won two games against Northwestern and I think Minnesota. And he was threw two touchdowns, five interceptions, played very badly. And then he got beat up in the title game against Alabama. So... you know, again, I think the big question for me is that I saw the 49ers move up, and you know they're going to draft a quarterback, and I have assumed that it's Justin Fields, but there's a lot of people think that Mac Jones from Alabama, who I like, but needs to play in a place where they take his ability and build around it, in the sense you can't make this kid into this run-and-gun quarterback. He's not built that way. And I hope he winds up in the right place because I think he can be a good pro. But you're right, Jeff. I think after the first two guys, there's a lot of questions who winds up going when. If you really look at the order, the Falcons could go quarterback at number four. We know the 49ers are going quarterback at three. I think the Falcons could go four. You could have your first four picks, quarterbacks, your next three picks being some sort of receiver. I mean, it's really a weird top of the draft this year. But I think... The big question, the weirdest rumor I heard was that the Urban Meyer and the Jaguars might take Justin Fields number one. How crazy is that?
Let me tell you,
no chance.
If that happens, Joe Douglas probably isn't going to be able to get the name Trevor Lawrence out because he'll be Joe.
Yeah, I mean it's sick.
Yeah.
It's the rumor mill now. So I can't wait for next week. We'll all throw our picks out there.
Urban Meyer pretty much confirmed that they were going after Trevor Lawrence.
There's no doubt in my mind. He's the one sure thing. And I'm not even sure he's a sure thing. And anybody is. But he's close. The guy's got the makeup.
If you're Jacksonville, okay, do you turn around and entertain and listen to a trade offer for the number one?
No. Because the one big need they have is quarterback, and you're not going to fill that need anywhere. And you're going to get – I mean, you'd have to get five number one picks. You'd have to get like a boatload, which you could never get. But you'd have to get a boatload of picks to make that worthwhile. Otherwise you'll run into – if you're telling me there were four great quarterbacks in this draft and he's the best one – then I could see doing it. But to me, it's him and then everybody drops. So I know I can't see it.
Okay, but let's say that you were able to let's say this.
Yeah.
Let's say Seattle. I know Seattle don't have the pieces, but let's just use Seattle.
Okay.
Let's use Seattle. Let's use Green Bay, one of those two teams. Okay. Because they have quarterbacks that are unhappy.
Now you're intriguing me. Go ahead. Now you're intriguing me.
Let's say that either one of those two teams.
Okay.
Let's say the Packers came a calling.
Yeah, that makes sense.
We'll give you Adam Rodgers, this year's number one, and the number one for 22, 23, and
24. Oh.
Plus, I'll give you the second rounders for 25 and 26.
I would fly to Green Bay to kiss the guy in the mouth with that one. again, here's the intriguing one. Now, you made it intriguing by bringing those two teams, because if you're going to tell me I can get an established NFL star quarterback and a few picks, I'm going to do that. Why? Because there's no guarantee that whoever I draft is going to work out. So I would seriously consider it.
There's no guarantee that either one of those guys.
Sure, of course not.
On the wrong side of 30.
Correct.
And in Aaron Rodgers' case, on the wrong side of 35, is going to be your long-term answer.
But again, the life of a football player now is 3 years, 3 or 4 years. I'll take that chance with a guy that I know has got at least 2 years. Now, I could do that, trade down in the draft, could grab myself another quarterback, and let him play behind Rodgers. Now, I would hesitate on Rodgers because of his age, and I'm not the biggest Russell Wilson fan, but if you gave me the option, I'd take Wilson in a heartbeat because he's got a few more good years. But that's it. But that at least makes it intriguing, Jeff. If you told me that, I'm trying to come up with another team. The Cleveland Browns will offer me Baker Mayfield, and that scenario, it wouldn't intrigue me as much because I've watched Baker not be able to produce so far. But if you told me I can have Aaron Rodgers for the next 3 years at his level now, and I was going to get maybe one or two number ones and a couple number twos, boy, that's an interesting thought process if you're Jacksonville. Whoa.
Well, I mean, listen, you know, here we like to come up with scenarios.
That's a good one.
And see what happens. But let's just say that Justin Fields is more than a rumor, which I personally,
yep.
I feel as though that Trey Lance had his two pro days.
Yep.
And Justin Fields had his two pro days.
Yep.
That happened for a reason. Okay, I think that Justin Fields is more of a wild card than Trey Lance. I think whoever's going to take Trey Lance knows they're going to take Trey Lance. Okay, and that means that he'll be gone within the first 10 picks.
I would agree with that. Yeah, I don't think he's going to fall that far, yeah.
Justin Fields, I think Justin Fields going someplace depends on a lot of other things, okay? The Jets are making it seem that they're sold on Zach Wilson, okay?
Yeah.
But does that mean that they fucking fire one out of nowhere that nobody was seeing coming and take Justin Fields?
Wow.
Does that mean that somebody trades up to get Justin Fields? Does that mean that somebody that was in position to take Justin Fields trade down, hoping that he's still there? Somebody, one of the things today, had Justin Fields going to the Pittsburgh Steelers at 23 or 24, whatever, wherever it is that they're picking, 22,
yeah,
something like that. And I'm like, there's no way that this guy is around that long. It's impossible.
Mm.
Impossible. Is he this year's Geno Smith?
Wow.
Forced to day two?
Yeah, it's possible. That's possible. You know, again, I have a hard time. See, I got the draft order in front of me. So we know that Lawrence is going one, and we're going to assume Zach Wilson goes number two for this thing. You now have the 49ers who moved up, we all believe, to take a quarterback. I saw that somebody said Mac Jones. I still believe they're taking Justin Fields. That's my opinion. If they were staying right where they are, they're taking Justin Fields. But it would not surprise me if they went Trey Lance, either one of those two guys. So I want to put that there. The next up is the Bengals. You know they're not taking a quarterback. Right.
They're going to take that offensive tackle.
Well, that's a great course. Or are they going to take Ja'Marr Chase, the wide receiver who played 2 years ago with Joe Burrow, LSU, to give him some weapons? So I'm a little tossed up in that spot. Now's Miami. Now, is Miami taking a quarterback this year in this draft? I don't think so. So now the Detroit Lions. Are the Detroit Lions going to take a quarterback with Jared Goff as their quarterback right now? Are they taking Mac Jones or Trey Lance?
I don't see Trey Lance, but I do see the possibility of them taking a quarterback because I don't think that they're really sold with Goff.
I agree.
I do think if they were smart, okay, say what you want about Goff, but this was a kid that was just in the Super Bowl a couple years ago. You got to at least see what you got
right
with you for what you gave up and everything and what you have coming to you. You have to see what you got in Goff. You have to.
Yeah.
You have no choice. You just spent how many years with Matthew Stafford, who was a numbers machine
yep.
because his team sucked and he was always playing from behind.
Yep.
To me, you have to see what you have in Goff and at least play him this year.
But do you draft a quarterback for next year or the year after? And
you know what? They have the possibility of being such a bad team.
Yeah.
And they got so many number ones from the Rams for
Stafford. Yeah.
That it's, you know what? You could play quarterback roulette. Be like, we don't like the guys this year, but next year there's a guy that we really like.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens.
Sure.
We have two stabs at him in the first round, depending on where we end up. So, you know, you just don't know.
No.
As a matter of fact, they have two first-round picks, if I'm right.
I think you're right.
What, the next 2 or 3 years?
They do have two this year. This year they don't have two first-rounders this year. They may next year.
Next year in 2022, 2023?
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. And then
they got three number ones, didn't they?
I believe they got three number ones for which is mind-boggling for me, but I
mind-boggling considering that he's old.
Yep.
They're like the Rams just completely fucked up the quarterback market, man.
Well, that's one and two but they feel that they got to go for it right now. You know, we always talk about that. There's a 4-year life cycle and this team's about to hit that 4-year life cycle and they went for an established quarterback. They'll go gun for it this year, maybe next, and then they'll rebuild the team and probably draft a quarterback next year. But the next two teams, the Carolina Panthers and the Denver Broncos, I can see drafting quarterbacks.
Definitely the top Denver Broncos, without a doubt.
Yeah, I also think, how sold on Sam Darnold are the Carolina Panthers? Are you going to give him a run and give him a couple seasons? Do you believe in him, or are you going to draft a quarterback? To me, if you draft a quarterback, you're sending a message to Sam Darnold that you're only a placeholder.
Dude, I firmly believe for what the Carolina Panthers gave up.
Uh-huh.
Not only do they believe in Sam Darnold,
yeah,
but they think that he's going to deliver too.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Time deliver. I just don't see it happening, man. First of all, I wouldn't. Uh-huh. He's injury prone. Hasn't played the full season yet. What makes you think he's going to start playing the full season now?
Here's what I'd say. Maybe they think they can protect him better than the Jets did and surround him with better talent.
Well, how are you going to protect him from mono?
I don't know. That's a great question. You're right. Good point. Right. Yeah.
And what was his other fucking injury? Throwing the ball too far off too hard or something? Hurt his shoulder?
Yeah, I think he had a bad shoulder the first year, yeah.
And then the third year, I believe it was his, wasn't his foot or something?
I think it was an ankle or ankle, yeah, something. Yeah, something to that
he
effect.
He was out for another 3 or 4 games.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. All right, listen, I get it. It's hard to picture it because he hasn't done it. But you're right, Jeff. I think it's a great point that, you know, they gave up a lot to get him. I would find it hard to believe that they're going to spend the number one draft pick on another quarterback. So I don't believe that Carolina will go quarterback. I think the Broncos will definitely go quarterback in this draft.
That's possible. That's
yeah,
possible.
And then, you know, again.
Does Green Bay go quarterback?
No, they got Love last year. They took a lot of heat for it. I think at this point, after Denver, you got Dallas, no quarterback. Giants, no quarterback. Eagles, no quarterback. Chargers, no quarterback. Now you get to two teams that may. Minnesota at 14 and the Patriots at 15. If the right guys are there, I think those guys can go quarterback.
Patriots, yeah. Minnesota, no.
But Cousins on his last year. I think Cousins on his last year is deal, though, Jeff.
So I think they go next year.
You think so?
Yeah.
All right. I won't argue.
Is anybody right now
yeah.
better than Cousins?
In the draft, no. I will tell you that you probably have nobody even close to Cousins. I'm not a huge fan of Kirk Cousins.
Okay. So why would you take a step backwards, knowing that you're taking a step backwards, start off again, start off your rebuild? He ain't going to get that much better, no matter who it is.
No, I'm with you. I don't like any of these guys. If I was drafting, you know, the Jets with Wilson, and Wilson, I'll give you my scouting report that I put together on him. He reminds me of Chad Pennington. He's kind of built that way. He doesn't have a great arm, but he throws the ball well. My fear with him is that he's not big enough to sustain the fact that the Jets are going to probably have another year with a very bad offensive line. And I worry that it's going to hurt his career if they don't turn that around sooner than later. And that they, and this guy, to me, looks like a guy who needs a good supporting cast around him. Not a bad quarterback.
Joe Douglas, right, he spent some time with Baltimore.
Yep,
right?
Yep.
Okay, they had Joe Flacco.
Yep.
He wasn't the greatest quarterback in the world.
Nope, overrated.
But he was okay. He was a serviceable quarterback.
Yes.
He was a little bit more than a serviceable quarterback.
Agreed.
So Joe Douglas's teams didn't necessarily have a Drew Brees or Tom Brady or Peyton Manning. They had a better than average quarterback, you know, because let's face it, Carson Wentz was another one that was injury prone.
Yep.
We don't know what he could do over the course of a full season.
Nope.
So you have to put him in the same category as a Flacco.
Yeah.
You know, until he shows what he is. And even that, they gave up on him. So, you know, you're not talking about that Douglas came from a place where the quarterback was, you know, up here, big
right.
priority. It
yeah.
was more of a team effort.
No,
know?
Yeah, makes sense. Again, there's always a million ways these teams can go, and nobody knows what's inside their heads. But when you analyze it from our perspective, we see certain things. And like I said, I think Trey Lance is a great athlete. But if you watch Trey Lance's highlight reel on YouTube, it's all Trey Lance throwing bombs and running over smaller players. You know, it's amazing. It's obvious he's a great athlete. It's obvious he's got a great arm, but when you watch, all you see is him blowing his shoulder and running over a smaller defensive back. The guy's a monster as a player, but I didn't watch that tape and come away and go, this guy's a great quarterback. I think he's a great athlete. Again, same thing with Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson is not the greatest athlete I've ever seen. He's a good thrower of the football. I just think he might be too small. I don't see anybody that I go, this guy's a keeper. And again, I'm no NFL scout, Jeff, but you know, I watch enough football and I go, So I think this class is overrated more so than some others. And, if I were the Jets, you know, I would entertain obtain offers, but they have no choice. They have to take a quarterback. No, if they went, is there any chance the Jets trade down or go a different route than a quarterback at this point?
No, they need a quarterback.
Yeah, I agree.
They need a quarterback.
No,
so
I agree. No, I agree. At this point, they have no choice. At this point, they have no choice. I would agree with that, and I think it's going to be Wilson. I can't imagine. You know, there was actually a newspaper out in Utah who wrote an op-ed to the Jets and begged them not to draft Zach Wilson. Begged them.
They're afraid they're going to fuck him up.
Exactly. They basically cited all the different quarterbacks the Jets have had since Joe Namath and how they've destroyed their careers. This is the funniest thing I've ever seen. Let me ask you a question. Who is the best? Check out Namath. And I think Namath's overrated based on his numbers. I think Namath as an icon and probably should have been a great quarterback. But let's give Joe Willie his due and say he's the best Jet quarterback. Who's the next great or the next best Jet quarterback in your opinion?
Success rate, I'd have to say Mark Sanchez.
See, I think it's Kenny O'Brien, but success rate. Okay.
I'll tell you why. Because twice.
Yeah. Oh, you're right. You're right.
The quarterback, he made it to the AFC Championship.
You know what? I didn't think of that. I agree with you.
If that game against Pittsburgh was 5 minutes longer.
Yes.
The Jets go to the Super Bowl that year.
Yep.
And they win.
I won't argue that. I'll give you credit for that one. And that's a great point because they started out that first half. I think they were down 21-0 at the half, and
yeah,
they fought back.
They were bad.
Yeah, I watched that game, and they did. They were flat as flat can be, and I blamed your boy Ryan. But you're right. If that game was 5 minutes longer, I will agree with you. And yes, if the Jets hadn't got past that, they probably would have won the Super Bowl. That was Pittsburgh, Arizona, if I'm not mistaken, that Super Bowl.
Yeah. So I'm going to go one even further. I'm going to say you put 5 more minutes on the clock. I don't even think the Jets needed all 5. I think they would have left time on the clock, but they would have come out of there with the win.
I won't argue it. They were on fire, and they just started just a smidge too late.
Yeah.
Just a smidge.
They started a possession earlier.
Yeah.
Forget it.
Yeah, I would agree. I would, I don't always want to agree with the Farrell, but I will on this one. This one, this one is correct. Thomas Jones, that offensive line, a good. Did that team have what were the two receivers on that team? They had Cromartie and Revis, right? On defense,
Coles and Lavernius Coles and Cotchery.
Yes. I think you're right. Yeah. Jericho Cotchery. Yeah, that was a good football team that played.
Was it Braylon Edwards too?
Braylon
Edwards might have been on that team.
You might be 100% right. I have to look that one up. But yeah, yes, I believe that team, had they won that game, goes to Super Bowl and beats Arizona. I'll agree with you 100% on that one. I'll get that one. Yeah, they were a team you didn't want to play when they were playing well. They just, for some reason, came out flat as a door in that game. Just could not get started. So,
it sucks. Well, you know, it's the life story.
New York Jet fan is right. Got Hard Rocket Sports, you Jeff and Tom.
Beat Denver 10-0. Beat Denver 10-0 at halftime.
Yeah.
End up blowing the fucking game.
Yeah.
Jesus fucking Christ.
I know. Wow. Hey, Jeff, talk about the hockey season, the abbreviated hockey season. I know that was something that was bothering you a little bit, and I want to get your take on. You know, last year they did it because of COVID. They played very little. I think this year they're playing 60 games instead of 82 games. What's your issue with the hockey and the abbreviated season?
First, it kind of slipped right in front of me, and I didn't realize it because I'm not reading the paper as much, but reading the paper online.
Right.
But there's certain things that I don't see, such as the standings.
Right.
So I'm looking up the standings today, and I notice I'm like, oh, shit, like they're talking about playoffs in hockey. But it looks like they only got like 10 games left. There's not many games left.
I don't believe there's much left, yes.
And I'm like, how many games are they going to play? Because like I saw one team, I saw their wins and everything, and I'm like, it doesn't seem like a full season. And then I realized that like they're not going to get to play a full season for the second year in a row.
Right.
And it's just like, wow, does this take away in your eyes from like now when the next team comes up and they play their 81 games or 82 games, whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
and then they do their best of three or best of five playoffs and then the best of seven,
mm-hmm.
and most of those are grueling fucking series. You know, is these last 2 years going to take away from the validity of some of those 81-game seasons and then all of these monster playoff rounds in your eyes?
You know, that's a great question. And just for the record, they're playing 56 games this year. They've already played, I'm looking at the Colorado's played 43 games to date. So they only have 13 games left, so you're pretty much spot on. You're good. He's the goat. That's the reason why he's the GOAT, folks, and maybe moving up to the Pharaoh, whatever that means. But, you know, I don't know. Here's the thing. So last year somebody said to me, baseball's playing 60 games. Does the World Series winner count? And I said, yes. I don't believe in any of the records that happened. You know, I don't care who won the MVP.
The records wouldn't come close. The only record that you would have had to worry about was if some fucking dickhead hit 400,
correct,
that as a season mark.
Correct.
And I don't think they would have.
Correct. And I said, I don't care who the MVP is and Cy Young guy. Somebody won the Cy Young last year. I think they were 7-1 or 6-7-2. Like, who cares? You won 7 games. I got to work. But if you play the full season and everybody plays the same amount of games and they all play in the same rules, it's legitimate and it counts. Now, your real question was, does it match up to the, you know, the regular 82 games? No, I'm sorry. You know, it doesn't. This does not impress me as a great season. I think hockey's been okay. I've watched a bunch of games. But, no, Jeff, I think these last 2 years, hockey's going to have to do a lot to recover from this when it's all said and done. They try to play their next 82 games.
Suppose in hockey, right, because that's what we were leading in with.
Yep.
Suppose hockey after 56 games, you get a guy that scores 40 goals in 56 games. Do you look upon that as impressive on any level?
No. No. I'll tell you why. Because, well, I'll give you one. The kid Voit from the Yankees, Luke Voit, hit 22 homers in 60 games last year. And didn't even play in all 60. So if you did the math and said, well, if he played 180 games, he might hit 66 home runs. I don't believe he would have. Is it a bad mark? No, he had no, he had very little training camps. Teams aren't playing guys full time. No, I don't care about any individual records or scores or any of that stuff. Whoever wins the cup, it's a legitimate cup win. Everybody played the same season. If they stop playing and they awarded the number one team the Stanley Cup, I would tell you that's bogus.
Bogus, and not for nothing in hockey.
Yeah.
Especially hockey, I think that you would have gotten teams that turn around and say, no, I don't want that.
Correct. I would agree with that.
No, I didn't get that. Mm. They do seem to take that, maybe the last sport.
I would agree.
That does seem to take their championship games as highly regarded as they do.
Absolutely. 100%. I think I love football. Don't get me wrong. I love the playoffs in football. But hockey playoffs are great. Hockey playoffs, you could turn on any game, and it's just, you know, balls to the walls, guys playing full out. They go out there and play every minute of every game. I love every second of it, so I won't knock any of it. But to me, 56 games, I don't understand why you couldn't play the whole 82. But, yeah, I don't think it matches up to those great series of the past and the 82-game seasons and the great hockey tournaments. No,
It was the wear and tear.
Yes, absolutely.
These guys faced.
Yep.
And the grit and determination to get where they were. Whereas, you know, like, all right, through no fault of their own,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're playing a season that's shortened and everything. And there's got to be guys that maybe, you know, like are near retirement that might have been closing in on a record and just didn't have the extra games and time to get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it sucks, man. It is a shame, but
there's
not much you're gonna do about it.
No, and you're right. I don't know if this even changes next year. I remember a lot of these players are getting vaccinated, and a lot of players don't want to. And teams are. I saw Russell Wilson's hosting an NBC event, getting vaccinated, trying to talk people into getting vaccinated. The Rangers came out and said that 85% of their team is going to get vaccinated. But 15% of the guys don't want to. That's a pretty good amount. You know, I don't think they're going to have a regular season because I think the players are going to take advantage of this. And I think you're going to see next year the same exact thing. I don't think till 23 we get a regular football, baseball, basketball, regular, just back to normal season for another 2 years.
Oh, God, man. I hope not.
I got to be honest with you. It's not over yet, and you're going to be ending the season – and they start up again in September. Do you think by September that they're going to have all these agreements worked out and these guys are going to be back to regular thing? I just don't believe it. I think they're going to play abbreviated seasons again next year. That's my opinion.
I hope not, but I got to admit it's certainly not looking – nobody's coming out and saying that, you know, it looks better for this, looks better for that. Nobody's doing it. Nobody's saying it.
I agree. And now football – now here's crazy about football. So now they're going to play 17 games. They're actually playing more games than they were, but there's no training camp. So my fear with football is, what kind of football am I going to see, Jeff? You know, am I going to see a bunch of guys by the end of the season that are just beaten up and torn down because they didn't get a good workout in the off season, and now they're going to play 17 games?
No, which means that the first five games are going to suck.
Now let me ask you a question. What did you think last year? I know you don't watch every game all the time, but do you feel that there was a slippage in the quality of play last year?
You know what, Tom? I think the quality of play overall kind of got buried by not so much the quality of play, but the black cloud that was always hanging over their head. Are they going to make it to the end of the season? Are they going to make it through their season? Are they going to make it to their Super Bowl, to the championship game? You know, how about the woman that she was had players' names and stuff, and they were not, wow, I totally forgot what I was going to say. Sorry about that.
Don't worry about it. It'll come to you.
I don't even know why I said woman. I'm shot. I'm so tired.
It's okay. We're going to wrap it up in a minute. I know you're tired.
What I was going to say is that you're always waiting for names to drop.
Okay.
About COVID.
Yes.
That's what I was going to say.
Well, yeah. You know what, Jeff? You're right. Now you're scouring.
Everybody's good. They got to take tests. Uh-oh, one person failed protocol. Mm. And
yeah.
Now they got to shut everything down. And then there was somebody that was in the room there. And he was the players. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's a shame.
Yeah.
The way that's what the focus was. And I think that's, it overshadowed the actual game itself because of it.
I see now there's been some games canceled this year, Major League Baseball. And I say this, if your Major League squad can't go up and play a game, if you, let's say six of your guys are out and you bring up six guys from the minors and you play the game, I think they should have to play. Same like football did last year. The one thing I agree with was that Bronco game where they had no quarterbacks because one guy got sick and they were all in the same room and they had to play the game with the wide receiver. I don't agree with it, but then you know what? Keep somebody out of the room. Tell your guys to stay away from each other, whatever you got to do. But at the end of the day, you got to play the games. I think the one thing the baseball screwed up this year with a couple of guys get COVID and they can't start canceling the games. Nope. Send whoever can't play, don't play. Bring up some minor leaguers and you play the game. To me, that's...
Yeah, I agree with that. And I remember that Denver game. Denver wanted to start two coaches.
Yes. Yeah.
And they were told by the NFL that no, they couldn't do it because the NFL was afraid that they would use teams would use coaches as roster spots.
Correct. They would actually put a guy on the roster. Right. I never thought of it. That's a great point. And you're right. I think that would have been, you would hide a guy that you didn't want on the roster as a coach. I think it's a valid point, but I think they should have to play the game. I'm sorry. You know what? Suck it up. If you got five guys hurt their knee in practices, you don't cancel the game.
No.
You know, if the Major League Baseball team and four guys came down with the stomach flu, you're not canceling the game. You go out there and you bring up some guys and you play the game. And I think I'm a firm believer in let them teams have taxi squads or have extra players. I'm a firm believer in it. Do it. But at the end of the day, you show up on Sunday with your best 49 or 53. And you go play the game, and that's the way it should be played. Same thing for baseball and any other sports.
Yeah, I agree. But you got to remember too, without a minor league system in football, you're carrying some players on the squad.
Yeah.
It's how do you know which positions you're going to take with it? You know what I mean? Like you can't say, all right, the linemen are more apt to get COVID.
Yeah.
So we better put two an offensive and a defensive lineman on there.
It's a good question. So,
let's get a receiver. You don't know which way to go with it.
I agree. Listen, I agree. I think there's no way to plan for every problem. But I think at the end of the day, you have to go out there and field the team. And if that means your backup – your backup offensive tackle has to line up at nose guard, well, then that's your problem. I don't really care. And I think that was something I agree with the NFL on, that they had to play that game. And I think baseball's done a bad job this year by not running out there and forcing these guys to bring up players and field the team. If you don't want to play,
and especially when baseball teams have so many more resources.
Oh, absolutely.
Other teams, and they're allowed to call people up and down several times.
Sure.
Football, you got 17 games. Right? Let's call it what it is, 17 games, and you got a roster, a practice squad of five people, of 10 people, whatever it is.
Something like that, yeah.
listen, you can have a safety on there, and your safeties never have a problem, but you're like, I don't know, this guy last year, he had was out twice because of injuries.
Yeah.
Let's have somebody to replace him. And you just don't know. And then it turns out he don't play or he don't get hurt. So it's a crapshoot either way.
100%. Guys, next Thursday night, the big draft preview show with Frank Jeffrey and Matt Salitri. Jeff and I got to tell you, it's going to be a hiccup a lot of the show, so make sure you tune in. And see who we think is going to wind up where. I got a whole page full of stories on it. We're going to end the show tonight, though, with real quick. I got to ask one question before we go, Jeff. Why shouldn't people buy a Rickenbacker bass?
I don't like them.
Why? What's the difference between what makes the Rickenbacker? Because I saw you and Pete Bagley talking about it and Precisions and. For me, as a non-real musician, and I don't know a lot about quality of different things, what makes, in your opinion, what makes a Rickenbacker bass a bad bass?
Well, one, it's not that the Rickenbacker is a bad bass. I think that it's more than a Fender Precision.
Mm-hmm.
It's contemporary, so to speak,
okay,
is the better option.
Okay.
All right. I think that when you think of the albums that have been recorded and throughout history, most of them have been recorded with either a Rickenbacker or a Fender Precision or a Fender Jazz.
Okay.
For the most part, I think the Fender Precision is more of a versatile bass with as far as the tone that you can get. Whereas when I hear of a Rickenbacker, I think of Geddy Lee or a Chris Squire with a very trebly tone. I think, you know, like Steve Harris got a trebly tone.
I was going to ask you that. Go ahead, yeah.
With a Fender Precision, but think of all of the other people that use Fender Precisions over the years. Countless people use them. Countless records and albums were, you know, recorded with that bass.
Right.
And I just think that it's a more versatile bass. I think it gets a better sound. I think it has a nicer look. To me, a Rick just doesn't look like a comfortable bass to play. It just looks like a hard and rigid piece of wood and everything is just flat and, you know, whereas a Precision's got curves. It's sleek. It looks good. It looks could look fast. It doesn't look like it's bulky and it's having a hard time cutting through the air. You know what I mean? A Precision looks like it's just, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay.
I was just curious.
I was just curious.
Pete Bagley go back and forth with that. God, you know, it is what it is. He ain't buying a Precision and I ain't buying a Rickenbacker.
Yeah, I saw it. And of course, I wasn't going to comment on it. But, you know, other than the one shot when Pete mentioned me to make sure you try to get you to buy a Rick. But, yeah, I was just curious, like, what the, you know, why you were so down on it and what made it, an option you would never explore. So I was
Let's put it this way, too. Pete Bagley.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Big Beatles fan.
Absolutely.
He said he's the big fucking McCartney man.
I would think
McCartney
so.
He played a Rickenbacker.
Yep.
Rickenbacker. Okay. Me, more of a metal player, I would imagine, than Pete. I started playing bass after listening to Steve Harris.
Right.
Steve Harris played one. Geezer Butler plays one. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of metal players play the Fender Precision. Also, a brand new Rick. I've seen them on like Sweetwater, and you're talking over $4,000,
wow.
$5,000 for a bass. I could go out and get one of them made in Mexico Fenders, which seem just as nice to play as one of the American made Fenders, and you're paying God knows how much less for it. I paid $650 for my Mexican Precisions.
Right.
Okay. Whereas an American one. We was going for about $1,100,
$1,200. Sold a lot better than a 4,000 Rick. Wow.
Yeah, but it just, the Mexican, made Mexican ones felt the same way.
Yeah.
If you didn't tell me where it was made and just say, this is a Fender Precision, this is a Fender Precision, I would have been like, wow, they sound nice. They play nice. They feel good. They look nice. But, you know, to me, I just, a Rick never caught on. Because I remember the bass players when I was growing up was Geddy Lee or Steve Harris.
Yeah.
Geddy Lee, there was no way that I was ever going to learn anything Geddy Lee played. And to me, half the allure of Geddy Lee was him playing that Rickenbacker.
He's
playing, he's kind of singing, he's playing, and it just, I could never do that. I can never do that. I can't do much Steve Harris, but I have a better chance of playing Steve Harris than I do of anything from Geddy Lee.
Okay.
So that's kind of it in a nutshell to me, you know?
You said I saw the banter. Pete's a great guy. I love talking to him online and all that. Hopefully someday I'll get to see him again. But,
I laugh because now I'm going to have to say something to him. Tommy put me on the spot and asked me, what's this? I'm not thinking about buying a Rick. Because of you.
I had to put you on the spot a little bit. Guys, we're going to end the show, give Jeff a chance to get some sleep, and we'll get our gear up. And, I was afraid that we wouldn't get through tonight's show, and, boy, I didn't get half the stuff that's on my page, and we did an hour and change of wrestling, and we had some fun.
The wrestling thing was fun, man.
Yeah.
I enjoy it because – there's so much that we're digging out.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, there's so much that I just forgot. I mean, I know I didn't watch WrestleMania 6. I can almost guarantee it. But I definitely did watch 4 and 5, and I don't remember them at all. So it's nice to go back.
Before we call it a night, one of the things that you had made mention to me, that you wanted to talk about, and I feel like we have to at this point in time, was the worst finishing moves in wrestling.
Go ahead.
And the more that I think about it, the more that I come up with.
Go ahead.
So I want you to hear, I want to give me your worst moves. When you think of the worst moves.
I'll tell you why it's the worst move, because it's the biggest wrestler of all time. And the Hulk Hogan leg drop is the next closest one for me was the Ultimate Warriors, splash. Yeah. That's close. But the Hulk Hogan leg drop that took out Andre the Giant with this, to me is the worst finishing move of all time. It's just bar none, because it's Hogan. Like, you'd think he'd have this, like, the giant press slam, or, like, he'd have something major. It's the same way. It's the boot to the face, leg drop, game over. Every single time. And to me, because it's Hogan, and because it's douchey, it's the worst finishing move of all time.
Yeah, I have a couple more.
Oh, go ahead.
What I think is the absolute worst is Jeff Hardy and the Swanton Bomb.
Oh, my God. I forgot about that thing.
Okay.
Oh,
that
God.
There, I don't understand how somebody who's standing God knows how high up in the air flips himself upside down and lands on your chest, on his head, on the back of your chest, risking breaking his own neck.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't understand that. Then the next worst one would be Chris Benoit did it. Was the flying headbutt off the top of the rope.
Okay.
So I'm supposed to believe that you're jumping from the top rope, maybe 10 to 15 feet away, and trying to take me out with your head and not knock yourself out in the process.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or cripple yourself or whatever. Another bad one is The Rock and the Rock Bottom.
I don't remember that one.
Well, what he does is, say you're facing one another.
Okay.
Right? And he takes, so if he's facing me on my right side, his left arm would be where my right arm is.
Okay.
So he would take his left arm and like kind of drape it over my neck and take his arm and put it on the left shoulder. And then he would take it and he'd just throw you down on the ground.
Okay. I know it now. Okay. Yeah.
You could look it up and it's like, nobody's getting up from this one. Nobody's getting. And then the honorable mention has to be the Garvin Stomp.
It's another one I don't know.
You never heard of Rugged Ronnie Garvin?
I heard of Rugged Ronnie Garvin. I never heard of the Garvin Stomp.
Check out. Put in.
I will.
Rugged Ronnie Garvin and watch the Garvin Stomp, and you're gonna be like, what the fuck is this?
Okay.
What the fuck is this? You gotta be kidding me.
Okay.
Like, nobody got up from this. Are you kidding me? Okay. And like John Cena had one where he had you in a fireman's car and he flipped you over.
Yeah.
You know, that one was okay. It was okay. And Brock Lesnar, what he did. But
yeah.
Some of them have been like, and these guys just didn't get up and walk away.
Yeah. I watched a guy get like pummeled for 2 hours. He gets up and all of a sudden, you know, somebody drops a leg on him or splashes them and they just can't get up again.
Yeah,
I think that was
beat him with chairs and everything else.
Yeah. Now the two best finishing moves of all time to me are the camel clutch and the figure four leg lock.
Yes, but the figure four leg lock, if done right,
yes,
by somebody, you probably don't even feel it.
Probably right. I'm not disagreeing, but it's a cool finishing move. Okay.
Yeah.
Now you could also say, I saw a few. The Davey Boy Smith had the big press slam. There's been some other good ones, but to me, those were two legitimate, solid finishing moves. The camel clutch is the best of all time. Just the fact
camel
that
clutch, yeah.
Yes, camel clutch to me, I have to sit back and really think about it. But the camel clutch to me has to go down in history as the best finishing move of all time.
I think Triple H in the Pedigree is a good one, man.
Okay.
Getting fucking slammed down on your face.
It's not bad. Okay.
It's pretty good.
Okay.
the Dudley Boys with the Dudley Death Drop.
Okay.
A pretty good one.
Yeah, but to me, you start bringing props into it, then you kind of lose me on it.
No, this was a new age.
I got it. I get it. But
you know,
I'm saying
some of these guys had great finishing moves.
No, I agree.
I think the Undertaker with the Tombstone, him and Kane. I think was
okay.
Good.
Okay.
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
The
Stone
Cold
Stunner. It was pretty good.
That was a good one. Stole the clutch. I'll take the clutch any day.
For the bad side, a bad one is Mankind with the Mandible Claw.
Man, I'm not sure I remember that. I have to go look that one up.
He take his sock off, put his sock on his hand, and then shove his fucking hand in your mouth and press down. Where this has got to be the easiest one to fucking get out of. All you got to do is
bite down,
and the guy's going to do whatever you want him to do as soon as possible, if not sooner.
Now, I'll give you another one that is a classic. Might not be the greatest. Is Stan Stasiak's Heart Punch Specialist. Stan Stasiak punch you in the chest, and you were done for the night. Come on. Is that not? Come on. Stan the Man Stasiak and the Heart Punch Specialist.
Oh, my God.
Come on. That's classic. You got to admit. I'll put this one for honorable mention. Superfly Snooker off the top rope because he was the first guy to do it.
Yeah. Bret Hart with the sharpshooter.
Sharpshooter is a good one. I agree. That's another form of...
Chris Jericho, Walls of Jericho.
Okay. There's some good ones. I'll absolutely agree with you. There's a couple of bad ones and a bunch of good ones. But there's a couple that you just got to go, what the hell am I thinking about?
They're bad.
Yes. Again, the lack of originality on some of them were just, but another one, the Macho Man, the elbow off the top rope. Am I supposed to believe that you nearly took out Ricky Steamboat's throat with you know, and now all of a sudden you just jump off the top rope and you elbow him in the chest and he's done for the night? That's the one.
Considering that you landed on yourself.
First, yes, exactly.
Okay,
right.
Took a chance at dislocating your ankle and breaking your hip and your leg.
Yeah.
Because that's what you were landed on first.
Yeah.
Because not only did he jump out, he's kind of jumped up and out.
Absolutely. 100%. You know? Yes, 100%. So, listen, yeah, there's some fun. I'll be watching them all tomorrow when I come to your house. You're going to check this here on the Peacock Network. And I'm also going to make sure your wife makes you watch the Jake the Snake documentary because it's a really good one. And next week, I know we're doing football, best wrestling themes and worst. Best and worst wrestling themes.
What music, do you mean wrestling themes?
Music they walked out to.
Theme
music.
Okay.
Best and worst wrestling theme music next week.
I think that's a little rough, though.
No, this is why.
What kind of fucking theme music did they have back when we were first?
Well, the Bulldogs came out to the British music. Hulk Hogan had I'm a Real American. The Iron Sheik had his own, had one. There, a lot of wrestlers had them.
Yeah.
So we're gonna go. You know, I think there's a couple of more modern ones that are better. But let's talk about wrestling theme music next week when we do this again after the. Well, we'll kind of close the show with some wrestling again. Hopefully, we'll have some more stories and remember a few more things.
We're getting into this way too much.
Yes, I know, but it's fun. And it's something to fill the show a little bit when we have an off night. So.
I know, but I'm just waiting, like, which wrestler, pick out the five best wrestlers that wore colored boots.
No,
red not included.
The
you know?
Best wrestling move of all time, did you ever see the Ravishing Rick Rude one where he beats the guy with his penis?
We beat the guy with his
dick. He beat the guy with, yes. You didn't see that?
Yeah.
Oh, dude. Look that up. He doesn't whip it out.
Beats man with penis?
Yes. It's legitimate. I'm telling you. I'm not kidding you. You have to look it up. Rick Rude beats a man with his penis. I'm telling you, watch it. You'll thank me for
it. Oh,
me too. Me too. Yeah, he was part of that WrestleMania 5, I think. Yeah, WrestleMania.
They said he was one of the toughest motherfuckers.
That's right. Yes, him and Haku were two of the toughest wrestlers off screen than anybody else could never have imagined it. Never.
No.
But listen, that's what they say. But let's wind this up. We've gone right to 9:30, and of course I thank my partner for hanging in there. But first off, let's thank everybody who listened last week. We had great numbers, nearly 500 views, just a little short of 500 people stop by the Hard Rock and Sports Show. I'm eternally grateful. A lot of them must be in Ukraine because we got some great Ukrainian numbers. So thanks to all of them.
We are international celebrities.
Yes, we are. So thank you to all of our friends in Ukraine. By the way, I got a bunch of T-shirts, though. I got a few of these. I got
nobody,
a couple.
Nobody ever calls up or requests autograph shit, man?
No. I've not received any requests for autographs for sure yet, Jeff.
What's the matter with you?
Especially you people in Europe. We got a lot of people in Israel listening to us. So thank you for doing that. Thanks for Leonard and everybody. Tom, whoever Tom is, thank you for
listening. Oh, you didn't know who Tom was?
No idea who Tom is, but we're happy to have him as part of our little family here. Thanks to my dad. Thanks to everybody who followed us tonight and are watching us on social media and everywhere else. I want to thank everybody who pays attention to the Hard Rockin' Sports Show and helps contribute. So thank you for all being part of our little show tonight. So you got anything last words, Jeff, for tonight?
No.
Okay. Then I'll say, guys, have a great weekend. Please stay nice and dry. It's going to be a little wet early in the weekend. But listen, enjoy yourself. Have a nice weekend. We'll come back next Thursday night when we do our draft preview show. Jeff and I will be joined by our draft experts, Matt Salitri and Frank Jeffrey. And all the fun starts here next Thursday night at 7 o'clock. So make sure you check us out. Make sure you check out Talk in the Fast Lane every Wednesday night, 7 to 9, with John Lyhefka and everybody down at RFO Records. So make sure Wednesday night is your Talk in the Fast Lane. And come on back here for your mix of hard rock, heavy metal, and, of course, the wide world of sports on the Hard Rock and Sports Show Thursday night, 7 to 9:30, with my good friend, the Pharaoh. The man has upgraded himself to Pharaoh. And myself.
Pharaoh-ster, like the Hulkster?
The Pharaoh-ster. There he goes. He's the Pharaoh-ster. So, again, for Jeff, myself, and everybody here at Hard Rockin' Sports, thank you. Enjoy your weekend and have a great week. We'll see you back here Thursday night on the Hard Rockin' Sports Show. Jeff, talk to you tomorrow, pal. And we end the broadcast. Let's leave the studio. And we call this a night. Man, oh man, oh Shevitz.
Good? Time to get to know. When you can know.
Yeah. You didn't throw
up? Okay.
Really?
Yes,
yeah,
that's
right. Okay. You gave me a check and everything?
And then she reads and she gets a plate. I read to the door. I screamed her name. I was like, Bianca! She's like, what? I put a plate. She's sitting on the desk. Here, bitch. I'm not going to read the plate. I said, you have a text.
Oh, good.